Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness!
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Kim Kardashian. Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you! All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here I am. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, it was powerful. This is a no-win situation. Give me a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I survived it at the end of it.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to Brian the Hammer Jackson with the Hammer Radio Network. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Today is Monday, the 26th, 21. My special guest today is Jadid. Excuse me. It's Jadid Alam Muhammad. And under the direct guidance of the Nation of Islam, we're going to have a talk today. He'll be coming in. He came on his show as a caller, and he sounded very interesting. And I'm very interested in what the Muslims and what Jadid is doing for the community. And we're going to talk to, we're going to talk about that. And our second, I wonder how come I didn't put it on here, huh? And that interview will last 20 minutes. He's a great guy. And our second interview, and then we're going to talk about Donald Trump calls the women's soccer team losers and that they are losers because they are woke and they're demented. I know he's a stupid old man. Slow news day. Nobody gives a fuck about what Donald Trump says anymore. But he's good to make fun of. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So we hope you join us. I think Brother Jadid will be coming in 10 minutes. That gives me a chance to catch up on, because I missed it this morning, my morning Joe. And I love my morning Joe. So stay. Let me see if I can get my morning Joe up here. So stay tuned. After a great interview, we will open up the phones and talk about either Donald Trump or the pandemic, what's going on, because it's going to get worse before it gets better, more worse than before. So we'll be talking about that too. And if you'd like to call in your concerns about that, the number to call in if you want to talk about the pandemic or anything like this. Oh, then I forgot. We are going to talk about Donald Trump. This is from the Palmer Report. Donald Trump spent a portion of his speech when he was talking at his rally Saturday talking about LeBron James becoming a transgender woman. It's clear why Trump's handlers really rarely let him out in public anymore. What's left of his mind is gone. I happen to agree with him on this one. You'll be surprised what he has to say. I happen to agree on this one about transgenders and his take on transgenders and what he said. I happen to agree. So we'll go over that too. So while we're waiting on Mr. Brother Jadid, I want to hear my morning Joe. And here it is, just a little bit of it, because I miss it. I have my coffee and my morning Joe. Let me see. Come here. Where are you, Joe? Hopefully I'll get it. Because lately I haven't been getting it. In fact, I'm not getting it now. They're not even saying with the podcast. I think they shut down their podcast. That's really interesting. So that means I cannot do my morning Joe anymore. Let's try this. Let's go this. Let's see what this is going on here. Nope, that was Friday. Wow. I think they shut down my morning Joe. This is ridiculous. Well, let's go down to a news story. Here we go. The coronavirus. And we'll be right back with Brother Jadid. It should start in 15 seconds. They just don't have the podcast anymore. Really shocked. And here we go. Because I hate dead air. And we'll be right back with Brother Jadid after this.
Now, folks are watching the number of cases rising again, and they're wondering what it means for them. Well, here's the truth. If you're fully vaccinated, you're safer with a higher degree of protection. But if you're not vaccinated, you are not protected. And now, what we have now is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And by the way, you know that old expression, you notice a lot of our very conservative friends have finally had an altar call. They've seen the Lord. Whether it's on Fox News or whether it's the most conservative commentators.
And more of those Republicans and conservative commentators have seen the Lord, as President Biden put it. We'll tell you about one conservative radio host in Tennessee who originally didn't think he needed to be vaccinated until his own struggle with the virus, what he's telling his listeners now. We're also following the first House committee, the hearing on the January 6th Capitol riot. It is set for tomorrow. And Speaker Nancy Pelosi is bringing another Republican voice to the table. We'll tell you who it is and talk about what's at stake. Also, Team USA continues its quest for more Olympic medals. We'll get you up to speed on all of the action in Tokyo. Good morning and welcome to Morning Joe. It is Monday, July 26th. Joe, welcome back. We missed you. We're going to begin this morning with what we've been talking about as it gets worse and worse. Coronavirus infections continuing to rise among the unvaccinated Americans, and the nation's top infectious diseases expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, says the U.S. is headed in the wrong direction. NBC News correspondent Megan Fitzgerald has the latest.
The worst case scenario among the unvaccinated.
We feel like we're kind of going back into battle again, and it's definitely another wave.
The highly contagious Delta variant fueling a surge of new cases across the country. Dire warnings from the nation's top doctor.
Going into the fall with the Delta variant, we could have a really serious problem with a considerable surge of infections.
The variant sweeping through the South, Texas, Arkansas, and Florida, accounting for 40% of new cases in the country. But in Miami, thousands packing a stadium for a live concert.
You're literally drowning in people.
As the CDC now says, they could recommend masks for the fully vaccinated indoors, joining cities like Los Angeles, St. Louis, and New Orleans. But in Arkansas, a new law banning mask mandates goes into effect this week.
It's important not to have the current debate about mask wearing, but to have the current emphasis on getting a vaccine.
Only 49% of the country is fully vaccinated, those without the shots making up 99.5% of COVID deaths. Frontline workers, once again, with urgent pleas to the public.
We are seeing younger patients, all unvaccinated, that are sicker.
Dr. Michael Boulding has been working in the COVID ward in Fayetteville, Arkansas since the start of the pandemic. He's seeing more COVID patients now than ever before.
What would it mean to you and your colleagues if more people got vaccinated?
Less pain and suffering, and call less families to tell them their loved ones didn't make it.
That's Linda Mercer's greatest fear. She's a grandmother now fighting for her life.
I'm admitting my wrong because I was being selfish by not getting vaccinated. It really changes your outlook on life when you almost feel like I may be called home.
Our thanks to Megan Fitzgerald for that report. Now, Megan mentioned Florida, which has become the new COVID-19 epicenter in the United States. No state in the nation is coming close to experiencing the Sunshine State's explosive surge in new cases. Hospitalizations in some areas are increasing at the fastest rate since the start of the pandemic. According to the CDC, Florida accounts for 1 in 5 new infections in the country. Over 73,000 new cases were reported over the past week alone. Since the start of the month, the weekly total of new cases reported by Florida jumped more than fourfold, reaching its highest point since mid-January.
Well, you know, and Mika, it's gotten so bad in Florida that you're actually hearing Ron DeSantis talking about the need for vaccinations. We've seen a spate of Republicans who were quiet on this matter for quite some time. We saw it as politically perilous, who are now actually telling those in their states who are getting sick, going to the hospital and many dying, that they have to get the vaccine. So whatever risks are inherent in those vaccines, it's nowhere near as dangerous as not getting the vaccination. And you see in Florida and you see in other states that haven't encouraged that in the past, just an explosion, an absolute explosion in hospitalizations. 99.5% of everybody who is going to the hospital and dying haven't been vaccinated, and yet we're still having this debate. It is surreal, and it is tragic. And for those who politicize this, the death is on their hands. I don't think there's any other way to put it. And of course, the misinformation that continues to flow from Facebook primarily. Yes, I know there are a lot of people that like say, "Oh, look at Fox News. Look at Fox News." Well, even their top shows get 2-3 million viewers out of 325 million Americans. It's Facebook that's everywhere. You talk to public health care officials and you ask them, what's your biggest challenge? They will say Facebook. The lies that are spread, the misinformation that is spread, the doctor in Florida who's actually making money by going viral, by spreading misinformation and lies about what's happening with COVID and the vaccines. That's what's causing this.
There you go. I cannot tell you enough. You got the facts right there. You choose not to be vaccinated, it's on you. I think Mr. Jaudet, Brother Jaudet, is in the studio now, so we're gonna start the interview, and our interview will go 20 minutes, and then we'll talk more on popular topics. And Donald Trump called the women's soccer, the Olympic soccer team, the women's Olympic soccer team, losers, and they're demented. I know, I'm tired of this dude too, but I got 3 hours to fill. But I think we gotta take care of that. But once in a while, we have something that's very entertaining and very informative, and that's why Mr. Brother Jaudet is here, and we're gonna talk about that. So without further ado, I'm going to let him in the studio. And if you'd like to come into the studio, all you have to do is call this number and let anybody in the studio, because that's what we do. The number is 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. That's the number that gets you in the studio. That's the number get your voice heard around the world. And again, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We are global. All right, without further ado, the guest for today is Brother Jaudet, and get him a good welcome here. And here we go. There we go. Look at that crowd. There we go. All lining up for this Monday morning. I'm hoping this is Brother Jaudet. Good morning.
Good morning. Appreciate the warm welcome. Appreciate it, family. How y'all doing this morning?
I'm doing okay. You have about 8 people in this studio, and let's talk about something that's really close to your heart. And I read it, and I'm going to read it again. Brother Daudet says this, we are under the direct guidance of the Nation of Islam, with the guidance of Master Fard Muhammad, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and Minister Farrakhan, the Love Army. I don't know what NWRU means.
It's, you know, for short, it's Nauru family, but it's in New World Rulers United.
Oh, okay. New World Rulers United family is currently working on a United Hoods, and I love this, United Hoods of America project, where in every hood in America, where every hood in America will receive donations of barber, hair clippers, and pickup trucks. This way, every hood in America is practicing the same type of business. This will create a base structure business and a blueprint for every hood in America, making it easier for American hoods to unite in business because every hood will be practicing and running the same business. Haircuts and pickup trucks project in every hood. Hashtag United Hoods of America. Brother Jadid, now tell me about this and what's going on in the hood.
Well, you know, since we got to this country, you know, from slavery, you know, everybody knows the background and what's still going on today. You know, we're still suffering as a people. You know, a lot of people said we're not in slavery no more, but we're still suffering from the effects of slavery, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. You know, we're scarred. We're still scarred, and we're still suffering from it. So, you know, we know that, and we're working to get back to the path of peace of mind, you know, being who we are naturally, you know, as people, as God, you know. So what's going on in the hood, and, you know, everybody's still dying, everybody's still, police still killing us, disease, HIV, you know, it's a lot of death going on still in the hood. So one thing that we understand is, you know, financial literacy, you know, the path of love in our community is what we're practicing, our unity, you know, and I see that, a lot of us see that, you know, one of the main things that we need is business, and is, you know, a way to practice business, because a lot of the people selling drugs and they need money. You know, we need money in our community. You know, a lot of people, they end up selling drugs because they don't know what to do. So they end up getting locked up, getting killed. And it's just a repeating cycle. So, you know, one thing I understand is, you know, and every hood, this is actually what I see that the drug dealers are doing. They're doing the same thing in every hood. They're selling drugs, and but they're doing it in every hood. But by us, you know, having a businesses that's consistent in every hood, like cutting hair and pickup trucks and just doing that in every hood, you know, it would have like a domino effect, you know, like for instance, let's say I live in California, in a hood in California, and I start up a haircuts and pickup truck business. And I let my business grow in California, in the hood in California. Now, I go to Chicago, and I do the same thing, and then that business grows. And I do the same thing in a hood in Florida, and that business grows. So we're pretty much doing the same thing. We're just flipping it up and making it a positive for our community.
Right.
So that way, if somebody moves from one hood to another, they'll already have the practice. They'll already have the wisdom of the business, and they'll be able to just pretty much pick up and move and do the same thing. And we'll at least be on the same page, and that can be a start for something greater.
Good. I like that. Putting the e-commerce and also the investment in the hood and creating jobs and economics will keep a lot of, you know, keep a lot of people away from that, just the go-to in the hood, the fast money, you know what I'm saying? So I like what you're saying. And then you also mentioned put God first. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, put God first, you know, mm-hmm. I would say, and you know, I always, you know, I get my guidance. I was born and raised in the Nation of Islam, and
mm-hmm.
I've always gotten my guidance from the Nation of Islam, and I say this too, you know, because I don't want people to get things wrong. I get my guidance from the Nation of Islam, Mr. Farrakhan, you know, and but we also talk to, you know, seek knowledge, you know, mm-hmm. seek the truth. And sometimes the knowledge does not come from the Nation of Islam. So I just want to be clear on that, you know what I'm saying? I just try to seek knowledge, wisdom. I could talk to somebody that's younger than me, and if they have something mm-hmm. to tell me that's truthful, then I'm going to follow their wisdom, because the wisdom is not that young, you know? So I just want to clear that up. But to put God first, man, it's like, it's a broad statement, but to me it means, you know, first seeking the guidance. You know, Minister Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam has always protected me, always shown me the path. You know, it's like, I say this, when I was in school, when I was in college, you know, I went to South Mountain Community College. And one thing I used to do, I used to go to the tutor a lot, you know, because certain things I didn't understand. So I was like, you know, let me go to the tutor so I can get some guidance, you know. So, and, you know, that helped me get through my classes. And I feel like the same thing with life. You know, a lot of us come through situations that we don't understand in life. So it's like, man, how can I get some guidance? How can I get guidance to deal with my situation that I don't understand? So go through a tutor, but a tutor of life, God's word, you know. It's the same thing. It's very similar. You know, you go to a tutor for school, why don't you mm-hmm. go to a tutor for life? Go to a tutor for your life.
Oh.
And to me, that's God's word. Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
It's always helped me out. It's always helped me out. Always.
Wow.
You know, we all need guidance, man. We all need guidance. So that, to me, putting God first, you know, getting guidance, man, and then, you know, sometimes people want to fill it out. People want to do their own thing, but fill it out, follow the guidance, and see where the guidance leads.
Guidance and faith, and we all need some faith, and we need to have faith, which leads to hope. So I agree yeah. with you 100%. Marriage. Let's talk about that for a minute. Marriage and keys to keep the household together. You have keys to keep family together. What are the keys to keep the household and family together?
You know, I say this, and I'm not an expert myself. So, you know, I'm mm-hmm. still working. I'm still learning myself. I'm still fumbling, and I'm still fixing and healing, you know, myself. And you know, our families are doing the same things, you know. So all I know is I can be real with situations and, you know, like I said, getting the guidance and figuring out how to keep things together. And one thing I can say, man, is I say this, you know, I work a lot. I'm a hard worker. I'm a smart worker. I'm a smart worker first, and then I'm a hard worker second.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I noticed is when I was younger, you know, and like I said, I cut hair too. You know, I cut hair and at the League Barbershop, been cutting hair for 25 plus years. And, you know, one thing I noticed is I work hard, man. I do work hard.
Mm-hmm.
I come from a family of hard workers, smart workers, and hard workers. And coming up, you know, I used to work just all the time, you know, all the time, you know, spend a little bit of time with my family, all of my family, you know, spend a little bit of time with my family, but I'm mostly at work. And so, you know, yeah, my clientele was good, But, you know, then I start noticing, like, man, my family needs my family needs this, my family needs that, my family needs this.
Right.
I'm like, man, you know, I need to start making more time with my family, you know, because, you know, tomorrow's not promised, man. So one thing I started to do and realize is, you know, and as I get older, even now, I'm 36 years old, and even now I notice, like, when you come through a tight spot in your lifetime, you know, the people that's going to be there is your family.
Right.
And it's like, how could you not invest your time in the people that's really in your corner? And,
I think,
you know, that, yeah, man, I can hear that you feel me on that, because it's so important, man, to really take the time. And you know what? I say this, my wife is the one who helped. She's one of the ones. My wife, my mom, and my wife, man, they both definitely helped to let me see love on a different level. To help me slow down and really just stop focusing everything on business and really just slow down. And my wife says it like this, slow down and smell the flowers. You know what I'm saying? Just live life, slow down, see who's in your corner, and move a little slower, you know? Just move a little slower with love in your heart, more love in your heart, and just really just focus on your family. You know what I'm saying? Really just wake up. You know, and a lot of people, they wake up and focus on work. Well, I say wake up and focus on your family. Do not forget to focus on your family.
I like what you said, and it's very important. When people say spend time with the family, I like what you said about invest in your family. And that's a very important thing, this, because what you put in, you get out. And if you spend the time and you teach and you're there, the investment will show great interest in the future. And I will keep your family together. I just like the word what you just said. You know, you invest in your family, and I believe that heartily in my heart, because we don't spend enough time. You're absolutely right. A lot of people don't spend enough time with their family. They're working. They come home, especially the dads. And you turn around, and they're teenagers, and they already have their own way of doing things, and it's hard to start from the beginning of raising your child when they're already raised as a teenager, you know what I mean? The streets already got them, or their friends already got them. But I like that. Invest in your family. That's great.
Thank you.
You know, I wish I could do it. I try to do it. I had friends who tried to do it. Cut hair. How do you teach someone to cut hair? I mean, see, anybody can do it, females, male, you know, it's a great trait. They can learn a trait. I don't mean they could actually do it, because I think a great barber is an art, as far as I'm concerned. I've been to a lot of barbers who have messed up my hair completely. But people think, okay, I want to cut hair. Now I have to go to cosmetology school. I have to go to this school. I got to do, and that costs a lot of money. So how do you do it to teach somebody how to cut hair?
Right, man. Good question, man. Well, let me ask you: Are you where are you located, man?
I'm located in California, Los Angeles, California.
Okay, I was going to say, if you was in Phoenix, man, I'd come by and give you a haircut, man. You know,
I wish you would, because I need it. I wish you would.
If I'm in California, man, maybe I could come by, man. I'd give you a nice, and I take my time, man. I really take pride in cutting hair, man. It's a passion for me, so you can feel the love when I'm cutting it. Definitely feel the love.
Oh, man. It's art, man. I mean, you know, there's different styles and everything, and it's just an art. When you get a good haircut, man, you just feel better about yourself. You feel good,
right.
You know?
Right.
It's funny, people don't even think about it, but it does change how you feel about yourself when you got, and women know this when they get their hair done and all this stuff. Men know this too, you know? It shows you're professional, it shows everything, but go ahead. That's just how I feel about people who cut hair. I can go on and on and on. So, but how do you teach someone to cut hair if they have no training at all?
Well, the thing that I noticed cutting hair over the years is, you know, I'm the type, I spend as much time as I need to make sure the haircut is nice, you know. But one thing I noticed was it's not always about the haircut, you know. And I noticed, you know, by me teaching the community and always working with the, to help the community build and unite, one thing I noticed is some barbers, I'm going to be honest, with, some barbers just can't cut that good, man. They just cannot cut that good. But I noticed, like, why do they still have a lot of clientele? And it hit me one day. I was like, okay, I noticed how, and me, I study the brain, I study the mind, I study anatomy and physiology. And that's one of the things, that's what Nation is. That's one of the main things Nation of Islam is about, is the knowledge of self, the knowledge of your anatomy, knowledge of your physiology. And that's one of that's one of the main things that the Nation of Islam is about, is studying self, studying yourself. And so what I notice is, you know, these barbers, they're not cutting that good. The haircuts are not that good, but they still got a lot of clientele. So it hit me, like, the conversation that these barbers have and the camaraderie, you know, they treat people good. They treat people like family. They communicate with them. They're very nice to them. And, you know, the haircuts would be decent or bad haircuts, really, sometimes, and they still coming back because the barber's treating them right. So a lot of people think that it's just cutting hair, or I got to be the best, or I got to do this. No, it's not that. When you really, it's like I said, invest in your family. Do the same thing by investing in yourself, invest in your family, invest in people. Just treat people right. You know, the Nation of Islam, I was taught in the Nation of Islam, even before the Nation, even before Islam, the first religion was teach people how you want to be treated. So when we get back to that, you know, everything, a lot of things just fall back into place. So you can be a barber really just by teaching people right. Because if you wanted to, I say this too, if somebody wants to be a barber today, you can make money today. And the way you make money today is just treat people right. And you can go to the mall right now and just talk to people with bald heads. I'm telling you, man. Anybody on this planet can do a bald head. Anybody. But the thing about that is, you know, you of course you wouldn't want to know how to cut hair. You'd just be doing bald heads. But you can get five bald heads in one day. If you just focus your business on just bald heads, you can get 20 bald heads a week. Shoot, you can make $100 just on bald heads every day, $100 on bald heads every day. As long as you're treating people, as long as you're treating them right, just put a hot towel on their head, you know, hot towel, warm towel, give them a nice bald head with the clippers, have a nice conversation, man, they'll pay you $20, $30, $50, whatever you want. As long as you're treating them right, give them a nice bald head, you can do that, and you can make money. You can pay your bills with just bald heads every day, and that's how easy it can be to cut hair. And that's how I say I teach people not only just how to cut hair, but I teach people how to treat people right and get clientele and keep your clientele, which I think is more important than cutting hair.
When I was a kid, next to church was the barber shop. And this guy made us a walk. I mean, he even had snacks, you know, to keep us there. And we would just stay there, hear the stories when people walk in. It was just a friend, what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. You just make your place into a friendly place and a comfortable place. People will come. They will come in there. And plus, you got to be a great barber. But and I know you are. But I like that. You're right. You can make money today. Today, all you have to do is listen to Brother Jadid. And it's a simple thing. Like you're saying, even if he's a bald head, don't even have a hair on his head, he would be in that shop with that warm towel, relaxing in that chair, and he would stay there for 20 minutes as long as you want him there, and he will pay you to do it, and you just take care of people. I like your style. I just like your style. Keys to love and unity in the community and protecting our planet and universe. So are you telling me you're into the global warming thing? Do you believe in global warming?
I definitely believe, I do have a belief in it. I'm not well studied into it, but I do see every day what's going on this planet and how a lot of our everyday actions are destroying our own bodies. And if it's destroying our bodies, it's destroying our planet also. Mm-hmm. You know, just the way this world is thinking is, I'm sure, is destroying this planet and the universe, you know.
Right.
I would say that, you know, with the global warming thing, and I believe it's true, you know. And for one thing, you know, I see that, you know, we got this side, enemies on this side, we got enemies on that side. But people don't realize that global warming is the enemy, you know what I'm saying, that we all, this whole planet needs to be focused on, you know, because if global warming gets worse, shit, we all going to die. We all going to be, none of us is going to have a home. So it's like we're going to be forced, we already being forced to change our eating habits, change our habits with this coronavirus. We already being forced to change. Global warming is going to help make us change even more. So we all really going to have to, you know, treat each other how we want to be treated, with love. Otherwise, this global warming is going to take all of us out. You know, black,
you know,
white, Asian, everybody.
I agree with you 100%. I do. But, you know, it's almost a recycling thing we tried to do on the Earth Day. And if we're the only one doing it, and you got the Eastern European countries are not doing it, and it's not going to work. You know, I agree with you. I believe in what's happening here, that it is global warming. But I just don't see it, people doing anything about it, because for it, do you agree or not agree, for it to really work, it would take almost every country to participate into whether it's recycling, whether it's whatever you need to do. And therefore, I don't think it's ever going to happen. What's your opinion?
I definitely hear where you're coming from, man, because it's hard. It's very, very hard to even visualize people working together on this planet, even in one city, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
I hear where you're coming from, man. It's just hard, man. One thing I do notice is when people are hit their limit or rock bottom, and they're truly humbled, just like this coronavirus. When people start catching the coronavirus, and people start losing lives, and people start getting sick, that's when people start they're more acceptable to listen. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So when people start dying from coronavirus, people start dying from the ozone getting worse, then people are going to start working together. And that's what it takes sometimes. It's being humbled. The universe will humble this planet. And that's what, if global warming is real and global warming gets worse, global warming will humble this planet, and we all will be forced to listen.
Unfortunately, you're right. It takes a tragedy, or it takes a trauma, or it takes something close to you, which sparks both of those, for people to change their mind and say, you're right. People haven't caught on yet for preventive care. They're waiting till it happens to them, and then they take action, unfortunately. But, you know, the new generation is coming up. They're introduced to a lot of things, and maybe you're right. Maybe we have a shot, you know, with people, with cars, and the car companies are changing to, you know, electric cars. So maybe we will in about 20 years. We have a shot. But again, I can't think of the people in Haiti or Cuba or South Africa or Germany, and you hear where I'm going. Especially the French. Come on, we got to get rid of them. You know, they're not even thinking about global warming. You know what I mean? And it won't work until it gets to the Eastern Bloc. Anyway, that's just my opinion.
Yeah,
but I hope you're right. I hope you're right. You know, you said something interesting, and it says you wanted to remind people to love. Love yourself, follow God. And you reminded them to look up How to Eat to Live on your YouTube by Minister Farrakhan. Why is that so important to you? Now, I understand. I take care of my family. And see, you're a better man than I am because here's how I think. My goal is to take care of my family. If I see my neighbor, you know, sticking his head in the oven just to keep warm, I'm going to look at him and I'm going to say, that house will be for rent soon. Because he's going to die. Because you talk to these people and you can talk to them like you're talking. You can talk about global warming. You can talk about till you're blue in the face. You can make money, man. All you have to do is cut hair. You can make money today. And you can say that. I'm tired of trying to convince people. I mean, they should have enough common sense. I have enough problems with my own family. Why do I care about, you know, telling people how to... I'll give the information if they don't take it. I don't care. But you seem to, if you give the information, you just want to explain to them why this is good for them. So you have more patience than I do. Why is it so important to save people when they're morons? I really don't get it.
I hear where you're coming from, man. You know, one thing I noticed, man, is and me, I have to live my life. You know, I can't work every day like, man, I gotta help these people, because I'll be working for the rest of my life and I'll die probably unhappy. You know what I'm saying? So and you know, I want to live, man. I want to follow God's way and live a happy life, man. And I am happy. You know what I'm saying? I really want to keep living that way. But so as long I understand that, I love, and that's why I said I love myself. You know, I love myself to the point where I know how to step away, follow my, you know, love myself and be happy with myself, and you know, just continue to, you know, move in my direction. But I also know, When people see me happy, you know what I'm saying? When people see that, or when people hear the happiness coming from me, I'm studying to get my personal training license, and I read that people tend to gravitate to people that are excited. People that are always happy. And, you know, we're not always happy. You know, we all have our downtime, you know, but the people that know how to practice to get back to that happiness energy. So, you know, one thing I noticed is people gravitate towards that. So as long as I continue to know who I am, love myself, be happy with myself, and, you know, I could take some time, a fraction of my time, to explain to people, because some people are listening. You know, Brother Brian, you know that in business, you're a businessman like me, man. So you understand.
Right.
You can talk to 100 people and let them know about your business, and you might get one person. You might get one person out of that 100 people that's gonna come through. So you know what I speak to the masses. And I know that it's going to be at least one person that's listening that will take the information and they'll use it. But I also know that, you know, a lot of people that will hate. And, you know, God will not bless those people, you know. So, you know, and it's just, you know, I know the people, because I was able to hear things. And I was one of those people that wanted to listen and do better. So I'm fortunate that there are people that's doing what I'm doing now that they did in the few before, to where, you know, they just put the information out there, and I was one of the ones that listened. So I'm very fortunate for people like that. And Mr. Farrakhan is one of those people who just always put in the work, and I was just one of the fortunate ones to listen. My family, You know, besides Mr. Farrakhan, my family, you know, I really want to give a lot of credit to my mom, my wife, my mom, my pops, you know, my family, just the community. You know, I want to get some, even the hood, you know, I give a lot of love. I want to send a lot of love to the hood on 28th Street and Broadway. You know, that hood over there, man, showed me a whole lot of love. You know what I'm saying? They showed me a lot of direction. They showed me a lot, man. And I want to give a lot of love back to that community on 28th Street and Broadway, man, Phoenix, Arizona. And, you know, I just want to just continue to do the work because I know somebody's out there listening and they're really accepting what needs to be done. They're looking for change, you know. So God bless.
Right. Well, you know what? It takes, like you said, one person. And if you could, and that one, and it's not just one person. That one person has a brother, a sister, husband, wife, family, cousins, uncles. And you know, you don't even know, maybe he owns a big business, and that goes from, you just put it forward, and he puts it forward, and then the message is clear. And if Donald Trump can get a following, anybody can. What's the name of the YouTube channel where Minister Farrakhan, is there a particular one where they just go on YouTube and put in Minister Farrakhan and just listen to a lot of stuff, or is there a particular one you want people to listen to? Because you're saying you how to eat, to live, and Minister Farrakhan maybe has something to say about that. Is there a particular channel on that or title?
Yeah, if you type in let me see if I can see it on here. If you type in Minister Farrakhan, how to eat to live, it'll show up. Another one, it's a few more I would like people to, I think it's very important too. So Minister Farrakhan, how to eat to live on YouTube. And also on YouTube is type in also Minister Farrakhan to successful marriage. And, yes, sir. That's a good one, man. And it's a few of those marriage videos on YouTube because you know, one thing I noticed is this, you know, Satan has a way of breaking up our family homes. And we're taught in the Nation of Islam that our families are a keystone, you know, that's the base of our civilization. So when our families are breaking up, then how are we going to survive as a community, as a hood? How are we going to survive? So it's certain main keys that I just like to put out there. Eating healthy, of course, you got to take care of yourself to even keep a family. So How to Eat to Live by Minister Farrakhan on YouTube. And you can read the book by Honorable Elijah Muhammad also. So that one and Keys to Successful Marriage by Minister Farrakhan on YouTube.
Excellent. I'm going to do that right after this show because I heard a couple of his speeches and everything, and I do agree with him. You mentioned to help our bodies on the same category about how to eat and live with Minister Farrakhan, but you said to help our bodies and immune system and get stronger against the coronavirus. Is he speaking on that, or is this your personal thing that, you know, get in tune with yourself and see what's available out there so you can strengthen your own immune system from this coronavirus?
Almost definite. You know, one thing I noticed is, and like I said, when I was talking about when I was in college, you know, I go to a tutor and get guidance on things that I don't know, you know, and I'm still that childlike being searching for direction, you know what I'm saying? We're always going to be that, you know. As human beings, we're always going to be searching. And so it is some things that I'm, you know, taking in on my own, but I have to get the information from somewhere, and the Nation of Islam is always there for me, man, always. For 36 years, the Nation of Islam has always been there for me, man. And what I would say is I was on a Zoom call for fasting and with the Nation of Islam, And one thing that stuck out to me one day, they said a three-day fast, 3 days with no food. But I know they do first day no food, second day no food, and the third day I eat at 4 o'clock. That's what I practiced. I practiced recently. And it's a challenge, man. It's definitely a challenge. But when you get through it, it's like, wow, I really did that. It's a powerful thing, man. It's a very powerful thing.
You would kick me out because 3 days with no food, I'll be drinking. So 3 days of me drinking straight, I'm sorry. I'm still keeping, you wouldn't want me around you. My girlfriend does the same thing. She's doing the fasting thing. I don't understand it. I can't wrap myself around it. I know it's a cleansing thing. I know this. Not for me, not for me. I'm sorry, but I'm with you on the haircut. I'm 100% with you on the fasting.
Yeah, I
need a cracker.
It's not easy, man. It took me a while, man.
No.
All right.
But you do. I love your philosophy about going to school, get your master's, get your education. Education is what we need. It's the beginning. To change things, you have to understand how it works. When we say get your education can mean a lot of things. There's a lot of people, and college is not for everyone. And if you really look at the stats, one out of four people, I don't care if you're black, white, Asian, Jewish, whatever, will drop out of college. It's not for everyone. But it is very important to get your – and if you're not getting your schooling education – make sure you start reading. Reading is another part of a good education, and read a lot of things and know what's going on in your neighborhood, and that's education too. And I'm a strong believer in education. I'm glad you are too, Brother Jaded. I love that. You have here Family by God, Mercy, and Will I Am, and Emperor, a king, a ruler, a god, and just striving to be a good man. It's hard to strive. I don't even know what a good man is anymore. The world is changing. Morals are changing. I don't even know what that is. I don't know what women define what a good man is or a man define what a good man is. And sometimes a good man turns into a good woman. I'm going crazy. I guess you just try to be the best person you can be, maybe. Because what is it to be a good man nowadays, Brother Jadid? Because I have no idea.
You know, I would say, man, you know, I wanted to say about that, that fasting.
Sure.
When I was on that
fasting,
it's one thing that I left out. When I was on that fasting car, one of the sisters on that, she said, when you fast for 3 days, of course, you want to drink water and be careful how you fast. You don't want to just go. You want to be careful. Make sure your body can handle it. But when you're fasting for 3 days, no food, your cells, if I'm not mistaken, I think your cells rejuvenate to where you pretty much develop a stronger army of cells. So any disease that try to come to your body pretty much get eliminated. So your body's getting a lot stronger to fight off disease when you're fasting. So that's one thing I definitely wanted people to understand. If I was anybody that's listening that wants to study fasting first and get a real understanding of how fasting works for you and your body, because you don't want to hurt yourself by fasting. But definitely study fasting for a while. Study fasting and see how it can help you. And people are healthy, man. People are healthy enough. People are still fighting this coronavirus with no vaccine. And I would say this, man. We were taught in the Nation of Islam, do not take that vaccine, man. So people gonna do what they want. But I'm going to definitely take my chances on just staying as healthy as possible and really allowing my immune system and my digestive system and my body to work for me at my top condition of healthiness. But the question that you asked me,
I'm sorry. What was the question again? I'm sorry.
No, I was talking about fasting that I could not do it, and I think that's where I stopped. I'm not quite sure, but what your answer was really important because I never understood. I thought fasting will weaken your immune system and weaken a lot of things. I didn't know it was a part to help you know, protect yourself from disease. I just think that when you're fat, you're not getting enough nutrition, you're not getting enough protein, your brain shuts down, you're hungry, you're irritable, and I just don't understand it, you know? I don't understand it at all, but it works, I guess, for some people, but I just can't. You know what I'm going to do? Okay, in honor and in respect of you today, you're talking about fasting, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to skip a meal. There you go. That's the best I can do, Brother Jadid. I'm going to skip a meal. That's the best I can do. I would like to know more about fasting. My girlfriend's doing it. She did it 2 days. She did it for 2 days. She says she feels great. She stopped all the bad stuff, the smoking, the coffee. The only bad stuff that she kept was me. I think she still needs to have a little bit of that. But she says she feels great. She says she feels great. She lost 39 pounds in a month, or at least less than a month. So she's doing good, looking good, feeling good. And, yeah. And me, I got cataracts. No, I'm only kidding. But anyway, I got to look into that. I think somebody's here to say hello to you. Hold on 1 second. I see this phone lighting up. This is Ellen J, by the way. Ellen J, say hello to Brother Jadid, J-A-D-I-D. Ellen J,
hey,
used to be my co-host.
You know what? Okay, I'm not cutting anybody down, Brian, but I was just reading on fasting. And Healthline, they say that long-term fasting, this is what it says. But fasting for long periods of time is bad for you. Your body needs vitamins, minerals, and other nutrients from food to stay healthy. If you don't get enough, you can have symptoms such as fatigue, dizziness, constipation, dehydration, and not being able to tolerate cold temperatures.
And you wonder why the Muslim religion chops off your head.
Well,
you're such
you
a buzzkill.
Okay,
I'm only kidding, Brother Jadid.
I'm
throwing you to the Taliban. You buzzkill. I know. Thank you. But you have to define what is a long period of time, Ellen. I mean, he's talking 3 days, and I know some. I think the Jewish religion, they do it four or five days.
Okay, people, Brian,
to define a long period of time.
Who start something, you know damn well that once they start something, they're not going to be able to stop. They're going to keep doing it and doing it and doing it, especially if they think they're getting good results.
Okay, well, let me ask. Okay, good point. Let me ask, Brother Jadid, do you fast, sir? Do you fast at all? I'm sure you do.
Yes, sir. And she actually has a good point. You know, I don't want to dismiss her claim.
She does.
You know, and she has
let
a good point. You
down.
Don't you.
Okay.
And that's why. And when you go back in an interview when I just said, that's why, you know, I would advise people to study fasting and master. Before you start fasting, you want to study, and you want to make sure, even talk to the doctors, make sure the fasting is right for you and your situation, because everybody might not be able to take it. So what I would do is, you know, do careful research and make sure you're doing it properly. And, you know, you don't want to do it for your time because you don't want to hurt yourself because your body does need nutrition. So, but I'm also here. I'm also online, too, right at this point now. I'm online. And it does say short-term fasting can offer excellent health benefits. So you definitely want to study and make sure the fasting is right for you.
I'm still going to offer Ellen J to the Taliban as a parting gift.
You know what?
Peace
okay,
offering.
If I go, you're coming with me.
Yeah, I know I will. Oh, you'll run that country in a minute.
Thank you, Ellen. Here's Latia. Good morning, Latia. I hope you've been listening to Brother Jadid. And how are you doing, Latia? How are you doing this morning? You sound great. Now, you've been listening, and how do you feel about fasting? Do you feel like you can do it? Can you skip a meal, even if it gives a good body cleansing? Maybe you get spiritually in tune with yourself?
I fasted before we went to my church.
Really?
I was hungry.
Wow. Look at this. How long do you fast?
We fasted for, 2 days?
What?
I forgot which fast we did, but yeah, I was so close to getting something to eat.
Wow. Now, Brother Jadid, is that when you do fast, how long do you fast at a period of time? Do you go 3 days to 5 days, and how often do you do it?
I think 3 days was the most. I know the Nation Islam we have a 3 day fast. A lot of us we're taught to also do one meal a day. You know, you can do one. It just depends on what you want to do. And don't get me wrong. You know, I don't want people to think it's just not eating. It's not.
Right.
It's just not eating, because fasting can be. Let's say, and oh yeah, this is another thing I want to say too. Baby steps and consistency. You know, let's say you have a bad habit, and you just want to get rid of a bad habit. And that can be fasting too.
That's true.
Just getting rid of a bad habit. Just fasting too.
You're right. You know, I never thought of that, because I do want to quit smoking, and maybe if I put it in my mind, the psychology of fasting and not smoking for 3 days, 4 days. I wonder, could I apply it to that? Could I do that?
All right. Yes, sir.
Wow,
yes,
I didn't think of that.
Yes,
gave me some. Well, here's a person that needs a little help, because he thinks fasting is picking up women who don't say no. Here we go. Mr. King Webb here. Is this Mr. Webb? Maybe
what's
not.
Going on, my friend?
Wait a minute. 602, is this Mr. Webb, or is this, who is 526? 602-526, you're live on the air.
Hey, good morning, Brian.
Oh, there he is, your Royal Heine, Mr. King Webb.
Yeah,
how
my bad. I had the phone on mute. I was talking away.
Yeah, that's right. Now, King,
what's going
I think
on,
you're with
hey, good morning. Good morning, Brother Jadid.
Yes, sir. Please, Brandon.
I think I'm in a safe place when I say that me and King will support you 99% of the time, but the fasting thing, I think we're going to go out to lunch. King, how do you feel about the fasting thing?
I mean, everybody has their own opinion, you know, but I think it depends on how you do it, you know.
Right.
It depends on how you do it, you know.
Would you do it?
I mean, I can't tell nobody how to do it, but I know when I did it, I started out by not eating for 1 day. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then I started, I started thinking of all the healthy food that I could eat, and I told myself, wing myself off of the bad stuff and start eating the good stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped eating for 1 day, you know, and I said, okay, let me work on just eating salads and, you know, a lot of the healthy stuff, and so
right.
So then I started doing that. Then I started going for 2 days, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so 2 days is about the most that I could do. And
mm-hmm.
when normally a lot of people, when they hear the word fasting, they get
mm-hmm.
panicky and they be like, oh no, we can't eat food, we can't eat this, and it's like, no, you know. You can eat light food. Like, for example, you can eat, you know, I don't want to say a small bowl of salad, but a nice
mm-hmm.
size bowl of salad, you know. You can eat a salad,
mm-hmm.
and then you can just drink water for the rest of the day, or, you know,
that's what my girlfriend
drink
does.
Water.
She does
yeah.
that, King.
So,
she does exactly that.
Yeah, you know, and so, you know, you can fast and you can eat light by eating a salad
right.
or even a bowl of fruit, a nice sized bowl of fruit.
Right.
And you can do that for 3 days, you know what I mean? But a lot of people panic and they say, oh, going without food and everything, you can get sick and all this other stuff. And it's like, you have to do your research when it comes to fasting. A lot of people just jump to the conclusion
right.
and get panicky, but you have to understand the concept of fasting, you know, because
right.
yeah, you can consume all the nutrients in your body every day, but a lot of those nutrients that you consume, it may not even be good for you. So you need to fast so you can rebuild your blood cells. So that's the way
mm-hmm.
it can help you. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people eat meat every day, not realizing that meat that you're eating may not even really be good for you, period. You know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I know when I started fasting, you know, it helped me out a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like with me already being in the Word and stuff, you know what I mean? I was already helping people, you know, in many different ways that I didn't know. And, you know, it's just a very powerful thing to do. You know what I'm saying? If you do it right and if you follow the directions, then fasting is good. You know what I mean? Like I said, I've done it before. I came out really good. I enjoyed it. And then I remember one time, and I got to tell this story, and I know Brother Jadir remember. So it was this one time when we were part of an organization called 10,000 Fearless Men and Women, and it was one time we had a meeting to go to, and, you know, it was an altercation that turned deadly between the Tempe, Arizona Police Department and a young man. And so the young man ended up getting killed, and we had to go out there and sit across from these pigs in the mud, you know what I mean, and talk to them to see how we can work together. So at that time, I was fasting, and, I mean, I hadn't ate, you know what I mean, because I'm like, man, I want to get myself back right, you know what I mean? So I hadn't
right.
ate. So I think before we went, I think one day we was standing outside, and we did an event or something, and I didn't even, man, look, I was fasting, I hadn't ate nothing, it was very dangerous, and so...
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of the event. Oh, it was called a Hood to Hood event, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we went did that, and I think about a few weeks later or so, we had to go out there and meet with the police or whatever, you know what I mean. But I hadn't ate, and I think I was starting to get real sick. I was getting real lightheaded. It was crazy.
Right.
And I remember I was telling everybody. He said, "Oh man." He said, "Oh man, I don't think you should do it like that, man." He's like, "You gotta be careful." And I think he kind of laughed a little bit, like, "Damn." But it was a beautiful experience because I got a chance to really learn a lot. You know what I mean? Like, we've always had some fun moments, but that was one time when I said, "Okay, let me start back eating again." But, you know, it was good, though, you know what I mean? I enjoyed it.
Right.
Know? But yeah, other than that, though, fasting is good. I think everybody should do it at least once or twice a week, you know what I mean? And
right.
exercise and, you know.
Right.
Exercise.
I kind of agree.
And then disconnect yourself from the internet, you know what I mean? Have some time to yourself and deal with your family, you know what I mean? I just think all that stuff is good, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Listening to the interview, I just want to give a shout-out to Village I Did and just, you know, confirm that everything that he was saying, it's true, you know what I mean? The valuing your family, loving one
mm-hmm.
another, you know, the marriage. What was the
mm-hmm.
other one he said? Being a barber, all that stuff is current. And then, you know,
mention just cutting, anybody could cut hair and make money right away, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is, you know,
and then,
get
you
out
know,
of poverty.
Yeah. I heard him, mentioning, you know, some other things. Over here on 28th Street in Broadway, you know, It's gonna take a lot of it's gonna take a lot of work to get this right over here. You know what I mean? We just recently had a shooting over here, and it was horrible. You know what I mean? It was horrible. You know, the man got his noodles blown, as they say, and you know, the family was outside last night having a vigil going on, candlelight vigil, and it's gonna take a lot of work to get this community right over here. But I'm glad to say that this was the first shooting of the year in this apartment complex, you know, and so it was the first one in the year. You know, we still got work to do. We still got more work to do in all the hoods in the United States. You know what I mean? Not just this one, but there's many different other hoods, there's other communities that need work as well. So, you know, we all still trying to work and get it going, but. So, yeah, everything he's talked about, you know what I mean, that when I came in and listened, you know, everything is pretty much is correct, you know. And the book he was talking about, How to Eat to Live, that book there, it will definitely help you, you know what I mean? It will definitely help you, you know.
Farrakhan? You know what I think, King? I think Jadid needs to get his – I think he could hit a lot of hoods on Zoom. And because he's not only a trained barber, technician, artist, but he's also a philosopher, and he knows how to reach people. And I like what you said. You may talk to 100, but you reach that one person. If you had some kind of channel on Zoom, and you have that, you know, a haircut to the next cut. I think you could make a lot of money, but your message could go really clear. Now everybody's this virtual world, and I think, I don't know, but I got a feeling where we're going through this lockdown again, people going crazy. I mean, you can cut hair. I rarely went to a barber. I knew, what was her name, Miss Effie? Was it Miss Effie? Cause, yeah, you always make fun of her name. We went to her house to get our hair cut. You know, we went to, she cut hair in her home. You know, you don't need no fancy barber shop or anything. If you can cut hair in your home. I used to get a perm in this woman's house, you know. She had plastic all over the – you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you know, she had plastic on the floor. You watch TV. She was making a pie while she was giving me a perm. I'm going, well, damn.
Right.
You know? So – the concept, you guys, you're right, and I like what it is. It's like, you know, get a profession or get a trade, and it doesn't take much to get a razor, you know, get a razor and then learn the style of cutting hair, and not only cutting hair, but also the message and of having a successful place by making people feel comfortable. I love that. We've been doing that for years in the black community, man. And we've been doing that for years. And that's how I grew up to be a thug. I remember this one bar, Willie. he cut nothing but thugs. Nothing but gangsters were there, you know. And you just hang out there and you listen to the. We're not talking gang bangers. We're not talking that. We're talking people running numbers, you know, selling liquor and cigarettes out of the car, you know, CDs. This is what we're talking about, you know. But it was fun. It was fun. All right. Well. Thank you, Mr. King. And one day, when I visit Arizona, because I don't want to take you out to dinner, we're going to fast the whole day I'm there. Save me money. No, I'm kidding. I can't wait to meet you fast.
Right on.
Yeah, I did. Well, we are. I promise. I love this kid. And this thing messed us up, and they were coming to California, and we're going to go to Disneyland, and until this thing settles down, you know, I'll tell you something about Disneyland too, just off the subject. $110 a person to get in. $110 a person to get in for one day.
Yeah, heard about that.
Yeah, but Brian, you know what? Okay, you're saying until this thing settles down. And I keep telling you, the only way it's going to settle down is if everybody gets shot.
Well, that's not going to happen. We just have to face the fact that's not going to happen. There are some people who don't believe in the shot.
Well, you know what? We're not going to get back to normal.
Well, I don't know. But then Brother Jadid mentioned something, too. And, he said, until enough people die or until somebody in your family die and it caused that, and things will change. He meant it as climate, global warming, but it can apply to anything. You know, we are in a situation. And I don't know, but it's not going to happen. There's
okay,
not, if you're against the shot, if you're against the shot.
You need to ask everybody. No, you need to ask everybody.
Ask them what?
Do they want to be locked? Do they want to be locked down again? Do they want to start wearing masks again?
Okay, well, ask Brother Jadid. He's a businessman. He's a family person. His customers, I assume, are walking people. And I'm assuming that he doesn't know. Wait a minute. Wait, let me set it up. Ellen, let me set it up. I'm assuming that people come to him. He doesn't know if they're vaccinated or not. I'm sure. I don't know if there's a mask mandate where his shop is or where he works. And he's a family man, and maybe he has some older people living at home. Ask him. Is he afraid if he's not being vaccinated? Ask him. He's the man to ask.
Well, the question, Mr. Jadid.
Well, ask Brother Jadid.
Is that what you want? Is that what you
you're
want to happen?
You're asking me or you're asking him?
No, I'm
is
asking
that,
him. Is
okay,
that
you
what
have
you
to,
want to happen?
Okay.
Do you want to be locked down again? Do you want to have to wear masks? Do you want to lose your business because you can't survive the second time around?
Well, I say this, and thank you for your question. My name, by the way, is Jadid. It's like saying D-I-D, Jadid. But of course not. You know, I love to be free. You know, and but one thing I do know is, you know, I say this too. You know, I always say this when I'm cutting hair. You know, you can never build a house with a weak base. If you build a house with a weak base, that house is going to fall eventually. and I say this too, you know, this world, I stick with the United States. The United States has built a weak base of a country built on lies, deceit. They stole our people from Africa. They stole us. And they brought us to this country with tricks, lies, deceit, and snakish activities. So America is falling because of that reason. You cannot build a house with a weak base. So in order to keep the house that America has, they have to continue to lie, cheat, deceit, and use snakish activities in order to keep what they feel like they have built. So by us knowing that, and we all understand about population control also. So you have plenty of people coming in and talking about the effects that they're having from the coronavirus vaccine. I had two people recently just this week, healthy. Their daughter's having problems, plenty of problems. From the vaccine, another person came in and said they were healthy, and I look at these people. I see them every week, every 2 weeks. This one person came in. He was very healthy, very very healthy. And he can't even digest his food, and he has food literally stuck in his stomach after receiving this vaccine. So to answer your question, of course I do not want to be stuck in the house. But I also don't want to put something in my body that is coming from a weak base, if you understand what I'm saying. Historically, a weak base of lies, deceit, and snakish activities. You don't know what's in that vaccine when you really think about it. So you're asking me this question? No, I don't. But let me ask you this question. Do you know what's in that vaccine? Yes or no?
No, but I took the vaccine, and I have no problem. I have no problem. And I'm going to tell you another thing.
Let me end with this.
I'm going to tell you another thing.
Let me end with this. So, like what I was saying,
excuse me. Like, let me end with this. My thing is, the body heals itself. If picture a world instead of a world, just like my brother David was saying, much love, my brother. Just like he was saying, somebody just got killed off of Broadway and 28th Street again. But I would say this. Instead of seeing all these murders and people killing each other, lying on each other, to see these countries like America deceiving their people, you know, picture that world being gone. And picture a world where, you know, from a baby in kindergarten, we're studying and mastering anatomy and physiology. We're understanding our bodies. We're understanding 100% of how our body works. From a baby to 36, imagine studying your body from a baby to 36 years old, to 50 years old. You've mastered what your body is about. That's basically a doctor. So imagine the world of destruction completely gone, and put this in, wrap your head around this. Imagine a world of destruction completely gone, and imagine a world of billions and billions of people, billions of doctors. Just imagine that. That's the world that the Nation of Islam has built. That's the world that we're coming with. Of intelligent scholars, intelligent scientists, intelligent doctors, and people that's really, really doing the work that it takes to master the body and bring true love on this planet. So, like I said, do you really know what's in that vaccine? Like, because the only way you can really know what's in that vaccine is if you take the vaccine and go in the lab, the science lab, and do the research yourself. So by you to tell people to take that vaccine, you really don't know what you're telling people to do because you did not go into the lab and study that vaccine yourself and get the data yourself. So by you telling people to take the vaccine, you really, honestly, 100% don't know what you're telling people to go do, especially people having problems after taking the vaccine. You might be sending people to death, and you don't even know.
There you go. And Ellen, you can't really blame people because in the history, and Brother Jardit made a great point, and I hear your point, Ellen. I have been vaccinated. I'm coming from a person who's been
vaccinated. I've been vaccinated too, and so has Aaron. And you know the problems that Aaron fucking has.
Well, what I understand it. The problem that we have is that the government has lied to us so many times. We can go back to AIDS where they're saying that that AIDS was a chemical weapon, and then they start experimenting on apes, but then they also start experimenting on a lot of people in Africa and lied to them and said it was a vaccine for something else. We can go to the Tuskegee experiment where they lied to many black folks about the vaccine, and the vaccine was syphilis, and they vaccinated a lot of black folks with syphilis. We can go on and on and on. We can go on and on what the government has done and trying to create chemical warfare and start experimenting with people. They even have trials. They call it trials. What it is experimenting on people as human lab rats. There was a person, there's a director named Robert Rodriguez. Love the guy. And how he used to fund his movies is that he used to put himself up for human experiments. They used to pay him $750. They didn't even know what he was being injected with. He got paid $750 a shot, and he kept going and going, and he raised the money for his film. To this day, I don't even know what's going on with that guy. But it goes with trust, Ellen. And the the problem that I think in my heart that I think happened, and you're not going to like it, is Donald Trump politicized this bullshit because he was afraid that was bad news for his election. So he started attacking the science, and he started attacking this. This is all because he was saying if this pandemic was going on and on and on, it's going to ruin my presidency.
and it became political. I got a feeling if it didn't become political, I got a feeling none of the shutdown would happen. I got a feeling none of the mask would have happened. I think we would have went, if the government would have came out and say, okay, we have this and this is what we have to do, it would be a different time. But I think it became so political that we don't even know what the truth is. And he's right. We don't know what's in the vaccine. J&J, Johnson & Johnson right now, their vaccine does not work against this variant of the Delta. It doesn't. A lot of people are getting this, even though they are vaccinated, and they're telling us that it was hard for us to get, and it's hard for us to pass on, but yet 20% spike of people vaccinated are getting this. And then they're saying, okay, you're getting it, okay, but you're not dying. Well, there's a lot of things that happen to your body that you don't have to die. You know, there's a lot of things, your liver, your lungs, whatever, your brain, whatever can shut down. You know what I'm trying to say? You can be a vegetable and somebody says, well, at least you're not dead. So it's an experimental thing, Ellen. The government has lied to us so many times. It became political. We don't know. Nobody knows what they're doing. One state tells you to do this. Another state tells you to do that. Another state says, well, let's do this. And then we all know about Pfizer, who's being sued. Pfizer, who I got the Pfizer shot, Pfizer was being sued with the talcum powder, causing women to have cancer. And that was over the shelf for years until a whistleblower blew it and said, no, this shit causes cancer to women. They're still being sued for that. So I can understand the hesitancy, and you can understand it too. It's okay to buy into something, but it's also look at the history of what the government has done to people. Ask the Indians. They'll tell you. When they were saying that they tried to sterilize all the indigenous people, and they said they were going to give them a vaccine, but it was sterilizing the women. And they stopped that in 1978. They were sterilizing Indian Native people and lying to them. So you can understand that.
And I've got news for you. Less than 6,000 people who have been vaccinated have gotten really sick.
Okay, you know,
that's out of 157 million people that have been vaccinated.
But that's the information you're getting. I mean, when this first came out, I used to watch CNN and all these, and they had these numbers about people dying all the time. And then my girlfriend used to follow these numbers. She goes, oh, my God, honey, this. And I said, don't follow the numbers. She goes, why? Because it's political. She goes, what are you talking about? Those numbers are not going to be right. Chances are they're more. She kept watching. And then all of a sudden, Florida got nobody. I mean, people were putting up numbers, 800 deaths in California, 200 deaths in Arizona. Florida goes, well, nobody died. Bullshit, because it's who gives you these numbers. It was death to the state to tell them that there were people dying there and they couldn't get the tourist dollars. It's got to be so political that you have no idea what is the truth. You have no idea, and he's right. If you can give me one ingredient, Ellen, if you can give me what's in that vaccine, whatever vaccine, just one, that you can fully understand what's in that vaccine, I'm willing to hear it. But if the point is, I couldn't argue with his point, you're telling people to take something and you don't even know what's in it. I mean, that's dropping the mic and say, see ya, because he's correct.
Okay, answer another question for me, Brian. Okay, do you fully know what's in any vaccine that you take? But yet you're required to take them before you go to school.
I don't take the flu shot on that. I have never taken the flu shot.
I don't take the flu shot either.
Why?
You know,
it's supposed to protect you. Wait a minute. It's supposed to protect you from the flu. Why don't you take it?
Because I don't want to take the flu shot. I don't feel like I have to take the flu shot. Because I've never gotten sick with the flu.
Hold on. We're on to something. You feel like it's telling you to take the flu shot to protect you from the flu so you don't go to the hospital and die. There's people dying of the flu. And they're telling you to take the flu shot. How come you won't take it?
Because I've never gotten the flu.
Come on.
And they tell me that I'm one of the ones that has to take it.
Well, maybe you never got the flu. Doesn't mean you're not going to catch the flu, but taking a shot is preventing you to take the flu. How come you won't take the shot?
Because I just don't want to take the shot.
Okay, well, can't you just accept that? Wait a minute.
I don't feel like I need to take the shot because I've never gotten the flu.
Okay. Well, can't you feel the same? Can you give the same respect to the people who feel that they don't want to take the vaccine because they feel that they don't know what's in it and what the long COVID effect and it's still experimental?
I'm sorry.
You still have to remember
that
this is, you still have to remember that these shots are experimental, emergency experimental procedure. They're not even approved by the FDA yet. Isn't that enough question to say, wait, I'm going to hold off on it a little bit? Maybe need a little bit more study?
No. Shouldn't them watching people die be more of an incentive?
People
to
are dying
the
from the flu shot.
Okay, but apparently everybody
every
keeps saying that, you know, more people are dying from COVID than have died from the flu.
Well, again, the information that you're getting, that's the point that Brother Jadid is in, and I'll end it. Is the information that you're receiving, is it a political information? Is it disinformation? Is it agenda information? Is it Pfizer saying this information so they can sell more vaccines, so more people get it because they have a government contract to buy more vaccines? Again, remember, Pfizer is being sued because they put a talcum powder up on a shelf and women,
you know,
and women were taking
it. I really don't believe that shit either because I was using Johnson & Johnson all my life. I use Johnson & Johnson on Aaron.
Well, it's
you know,
fact.
Everybody's
look
just
up.
Out
look,
to get a buck.
There's a reason
everybody's
they're being sued.
Out to get a buck.
Ellen, there's a reason they're being sued. And you just don't go to court. And guess what? The people won. And they won. They got sued. They were found liable. So you're going to have to believe that. They were found liable.
Yeah, because I think they found a soft-hearted judge who wanted to give away money and shit.
You're just as bad as a Trump supporter. No matter what I'm saying, these are facts.
I've used the same product.
Just because
that,
it didn't happen to you.
That, over.
All right. We're going to have to move on. Poor Brother Jadid. It was supposed to be his thing. And you came in there and put a hatchet to his interview.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. Okay?
Jesus. All right.
You know, I'm just expressing my opinion. I'm sorry about that.
No, you're supposed to express your
people, man. As long as the people are really getting informed and people are really learning, you know, that's my main thing. I don't want to make it about, you know, I definitely want to do as much as I can, but it's my main thing is always helping people, man. As long as the people are really getting informed and
right.
You know, it's good to have dialogue, man, because it brings more out of us. It brings more challenges. It brings more wisdom out of us. And as long as the people and this planet and this universe is being healed by our conversation, then I'm okay with that.
As long as we have that conversation, then I agree with you. And thank you, Ellen, for making us think. I like your opinion. You're a hard-headed woman.
Yes, I am.
You're a hard-headed woman. I'll see you on a ventilator. All right. I will visit you soon, as soon as you catch the flu. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to catch the flu on purpose, and I'm going to come and visit you and give you a big hug. So then you can feel what the flu feels like, and then you won't be so adamant. I'm going to give you the flu. I'm going to give you that.
No, I've got news for you, Brian. Okay? Aaron was exposed to COVID twice, and I didn't catch it.
I know. Well, she's lucky. I can give you 5,000 people who died, and their relatives talking about when they're on a ventilator and they died from COVID. It's not for sure. It'll kill some people. It won't kill some people. It's not killing everybody, but it is killing some people.
Yeah, and most of the people that are in the hospital are the ones that are unvaccinated.
That's what they say. Thank you. Brother...
Okay, they had a couple of people on my local news that they were asked, okay, because you ended up in the hospital, are you going to get the shot? And one guy said, hell no.
Right.
And I looked at him and I said, well, you know what? Next time you go in the hospital, you're going to end up on a ventilator, and you might as well say bye, Felicia.
I will say this, though, man, because, you know, the people really need to understand that no matter what happens, man, if we don't have our own righteous scientists that's telling the truth. We need scientists in our community. That's another thing we need is real, actual scientists in our community. And that's one thing I'm working to become a neuroscientist myself. And We need scientists in the hood. That's one of the things that we're doing. You know, besides the clippers and the pickup trucks, you know, that's a start. So every hood, you know, the project is United Hoods of America. So every
right.
hood will also have scientists in every hood, real scientists in every hood that's actually studying science, mastering their classes, and getting their master's and science degrees, and really understanding. We have scientists in the Nation of Islam, sure. But, you know, that's another thing, having our own scientists that's telling the truth of what these viruses is coming out or whatever that comes out. We have scientists that's telling the truth of what's going on. That way, when we go to maybe Google or, you know, whatever, we have a real source of scientists that's telling the truth. So we know we can go to this source. And this source is going to tell us the truth. Because we all know we can go to Facebook, YouTube, Google, and like the information is we don't know if that's true or not. We have that expectation of is this even true. We have that. We go to Google expecting this might not be true. You know, so we go off of what we think. We go off what we think is true because that's what they're telling us. But we might just be regurgitating lies. So until we get our own scientists, that's what we're focusing on too, getting our own scientists in every hood with the United Hoods of America project. And, you know, that's it. You know, we just got to deal with the truth. If we don't have our own scientists that's telling the truth, then we're wasting time and we're wasting our lives. Really, we're destroying the planet even more because it's really just our opinions that we're speaking.
Yeah, the problem with that, Jadette, is that I believe that every scientist wants to tell the truth, but the truth of it is that they need the government funding to do their work. Until scientists get their independent funding, it's really hard. And if the government is funding your project or funding whatever scientific project you're working on, aren't the scientists compromised then? I mean, I think this is a problem we're having, and when we talk about Dr. Fauci and everything, when Trump politicized him, but let's say science. You know, we're doing a study on human organisms that can create life, you know, under a biotech situation, but they need funding. And the majority of the funding that scientists need, don't it come from the government? And if it does come from the government to do their study, to prove their scientific theory, are they now compromised, you think? Meaning that if you tell the truth, that's cool. But for you to tell the truth, you would have to do the study to say this is the truth. And for you to do the study, you may have to need government funding to prove your theory. And if you're using government funding to prove your theory, aren't you compromised?
Yeah, I hear you on that, and that's a good question, man. I appreciate that question because, you know, I love these type of questions because it allows the people to truly understand a deeper level of, you know, or a different side, you know, of information. So I appreciate that question, man. I truly do. I would say, you know, and that's one reason. You know, a lot of people think that the Nation of Islam is just a religion, is just a this or that, but the Nation of Islam is a nation. You know, just like, you know, you can go to another country and go to another nation. You know, the Nation of Islam is a nation of God, a nation of righteous people that have love, true love in their heart. For this universe, you know, to heal this universe, a nation of universal healers. So you have a nation of people who has your back. So if you have an idea, if you have an idea that you want to produce to the universe or produce to the planet that's healing the planet, you can go to the Nation of Islam, and as long as you come in righteous, you know, as long as you come in with real love, you really want to heal the universe, bring your ideas to the Nation of Islam. And, you know, the righteous people will support you. You know, bring your ideas to the Nation of Islam. You know, bring your ideas to the people that's really putting in the work. And not just the Nation, there's other people, there's other groups and organizations that's putting in the work to heal this planet. You know, so bring your ideas to those people. The people, the masses of the people, we have the power. You know, you have, like, I give an example, like, there's a lot of people in the United States or on the planet that fear the police. You know, but when you look at it, look at the numbers. Like, you can be driving on the freeway and you see hundreds of cars, regular cars, and regular cars have regular people in it. You might see one or two police officers. That goes to show you, out of 100, 200, 300 cars you've seen on that road, you only seen one police car. That goes to show you how much the people outnumber the police. So we have to connect. True. We really have to connect. We have to connect with each other and stop depending on the police, stop depending on the politicians, because the people outnumber the politicians. The people outnumber the police. You know, so all we have to do is really come together as people and form our own political party, form our own police department that actually serve the people.
Right. Well, wow. Okay. There you go. Brother Jadid, that was a great interview. I want to thank you for the insight. I want to thank you about teaching people that they can make money right now, and you can make money right now by cutting hair. And you want to stop the crime into the hood. Opportunities. We need to get the economics in there. We need to get the financing in the hood. We need to get the investment in the hood, and it starts with us. Don't be waiting for Uncle Sam. He ain't going to give you. He's not going to clean up the hood. You know what I mean? You got to do your own work, get educated, and make the change, and change the way people are thinking. Because you know what? Having people die in the hood, and like King just said, another person died in the hood, but he also said, man, you know, it's slowing down. Is that we are getting too complacent to see? It's not a thing to have a black kid or black folks dying in the hood anymore. But white people don't report that unless there's some kind of strange thing, like a little baby boy, so they can get the heart thing for ratings. So we got to start policing ourselves. But what it is that invest, give people a way to invest back in it. You know what I find, and what's wrong, is people live in a hood and they're good people, and then they make the money and then they move out of the hood. Instead of saying you make the money, okay, I understand you want to move out of hood, but invest in a hood. You know what I mean? You made the money, LeBron James. You made the money, Jordan. You made the money, whoever. Fine, you're out. I understand you want a better place to live. Invest, Magic Johnson, far as I'm concerned with Magic Johnson, here we go again. I don't mean to get off of Magic Johnson. He did a lot of good things, but I don't know if he did good things. Magic Johnson, in my opinion, exploited the hood. When he was here, he had his own black theaters, and he kind of raised his prices a little bit. Then he came up with the black credit card, Magic Johnson credit card. It wasn't a real credit card. It was one of those cards, you know, that pay a lot of interest if you're late. You know, the Kardashians did the same thing. I don't know if he exploited. He's a good businessman. I think he probably done it. I don't know. The only one I could think of who did anything good is Tiger Woods, who opened up technical schools in the hood, scholarships, things like that. Being a black man, I could not have good conscience of selling my tennis shoes for $500 and seeing kids getting killed wearing my shoes. To me, right. I would have to do some kind of responsibility and saying, whoa, wait a minute. You know, I got to – that's my own personal thing. You know, I'm not saying anything else, but I couldn't live with myself knowing that somebody got a hammer T-shirt and got killed, and I'm raising the price for $500 when that T-shirt should have been $29.95. Yes, King.
No, I'm going to say it like this. You know, yeah, we can sit here and we can, you know, have our own opinions about, you know, when people make it out the hood, they should come back. But you have to look at it this way. When you're living in the hood and you're seeing people not trying to elevate, not trying to change their life, and they want to keep doing dumb shit, you got to ask yourself, are you going to take that risk to go over there and try to help so they can rob you, kill you, do all this crazy shit? And I mean, you got to think about that then, too. You got to look at it this way. If you link up with some business people and they say, if you link up with some business people and you tell them that you want to reconstructure the neighborhood, you know what I mean, you want to do this, you want to do that, they're going to say, well, yeah, it'll be fine, but it's going to cause damage to this part, that part, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's not as easy as people think it is, you know what I mean? If I was to become a millionaire tomorrow, I couldn't link up with the millionaire that owns this apartment complex I live in and say, hey, I would like to do this, I would like to do that. You know, it's not easy because we have industrial businesses surrounded by these apartments, you know? Just like in another area, that could be bad. If you become a millionaire, you know, leave, and then you come back 5 years later and say, hey, you know, I want to do this and do that. You know, it's not as easy as people think it is. You know what I mean? And then you have to, like I said, you have to understand, why would you want to put yourself in a dangerous predicament and be hurt, get killed, money take, all that stuff? You know what I mean? So it's different ways to really look at it. You know what I mean? And I mean, but anybody who does go back to the hood and want to do something, I give them all praise and the glory. You know what I mean? But me, myself, I've tried to get some things worked out over here. You know what I mean? When we had the new lady become the property manager over here, I've been working with her closely, you know, her and another lady. I've been working with them closely. And, you know, the only reason why cameras had got put up on these apartments over here is because I went in office and I told them something, because we had a young kid get shot and killed over here. And I told them, I said, look here, y'all can sit here and y'all can drink y'all coffee and have a good time all you want to. I said, but that's not going to change the community or this apartment complex, period. I said, if I were you guys, I would put some cameras up. I said, that's the only way everything is going to slow down. That's the only way things get better. I said, you don't have to listen to me. I said, but I'm going to tell you like this. I said, if you want to go home to your families every night and continue to keep coming to work, I said, you might want to put those cameras up. I said, because when these gangsters come and when these people come, they come shooting, and they don't care who they hit. And I guarantee you that following week or maybe 2 weeks later, they were up putting up cameras, you know. And they said, you know what? They told me, it was like, you know, if you ever need to talk to us, come talk to us. You know, we'll work with you and this and that. And so then, you know, I started getting different activities going when different guys from Nation of Islam would come over here. They would take time out of their day, and they would come over here to try to work with people and, you know, try to make things better. And so our thing was, we were trying to see if we could have a business meeting with the owner of this property so we could see what we can do. Well, like I said again, that owner, he wasn't interested, because he's like, you know, if I make changes to it, then he felt like people won't come over it as much. But if the property stays the same like it is, with the drugs, the gang affiliation, all that stuff, then more people will come. And to be honest with you, he was right. You know what I mean? So now, since he's not doing anything, you got the city that's coming in, and they're gentrifying things, you know? Gentrifying, exactly. For those who don't know, exactly. For those who don't know what gentrify is, if a neighborhood or a community is bad, normally the city and some of the millionaires and billionaires in that city will come together, and they will figure out a good business that they can place right there to bring in money. And what they'll do is they'll bring in that money, and once they see that the money is generating perfectly, then they'll tear down that raggedy whatever it is that's sitting there or standing there, and then boom, there you go. You know what I mean? So, you know, again, you know, and I'm not trying to cut anybody down, but it's like when we sit here and we look at people like Michael Jordan and Shaquille O'Neal and all these millionaires, we can get mad because they ain't came back to the city or the hood to do anything. But you have to look at it this way. What are they going to get out of it once they do that? You know what I mean? Because when they're there, they're looking at all this stuff going on. Then they looking at these people that they can work with to make things better. But again, from a business mind point of view, those people are going to say, this isn't going to work because it's going to drive the business away or whatever. You know what I mean? So if you understand what I'm saying, then you know have an open mind when you say that because it's different. You know what I mean? And it's always going to be that way. You know, just like for an example. I have people that pull up on me in my apartment complex in Porsches, you know what I mean, Audis, you know what I mean, but I'm responsible for them, you know what I mean, because I know what goes on over here, you know what I mean, and it's like when you have a community that is bad like that, that gives out bad vibes like that, you have to be very careful, you know what I mean, but, you know, I guess it starts with us, you know what I mean. And the reason why I say that is because I think if we could talk to people like that, for an example, let's say out there in California, let's say if you know a bad neighborhood and you want to get acquainted with these people, if you personally know the owner of that property, then I tell you what, you could try this one day. Find an owner and say, hey, what can I do to make things better over here? Like, what, you know what I mean? And be like, do you mind if I work with you? I guarantee you, they're going to say two things. Well, you know, the only thing you can do for me is just call the police. You know what I mean? If you see anything. Or the other thing they're going to probably say is, well, there's not really much you can help me with. And when they say one of those two answers or whatever, then basically they're instructed to not even try to fix that property because they're going to keep continuing to make money. And I mean, it's just horrible. You know what I mean?
It's just horrible.
You're
right. You're right about the gentrification. They're moving black folks out of the hood here in Compton. If you go to Compton now, you wouldn't even recognize it. It used to be Willie's Barbecue.
You know.
Now it's Starbucks. What they're doing?
Yeah, and I'm gonna be honest.
They're getting.
I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't feel bad. I don't feel none of that shit at all. They need to, you know what I'm saying? Because my thing is, everybody has 24 hours in a day, the same as I do. And my thing is, you're not gonna sit in that damn place. You're not gonna sit in that damn neighborhood. You're not gonna sit in that.
That's true.
Wherever you're located at, you're not gonna sit there and be tearing up where I live. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so, me personally, I don't feel bad about any of that. And the reason why I'm saying this is because in the neighborhood that I live in, I got what you call, they call this hood over here where I live at, they call it Broadway Gangsters. And I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of them, they get mad at me because I tell them, I say, y'all ain't no fucking gangsters. Y'all some sorry-ass wanksters, you know? I say, you ever heard that 50 Cent song, You a Wankster? I said, that's what the fuck y'all are. And I tell him, I said, a real gangster's going to take his money and is going to invest in the fucking community, and they're going to try to make things better over here. I said, you think killing your own people is gangster? I said, that shit ain't gangster. So a lot of them get mad at me over here, and I tell them that. I tell them how I feel. I said, because that shit ain't cool, you know? So again, if there's a bad community that's going bad and some people want to come over there and take over and gentrify it, then by all means, that's what you should do. You know what I mean? Because the thing is that everybody's got 24 hours in a day. Everybody has somebody that is trying to help change that. And if you're preventing that change from happening and you know we're trying to make that better, then you know what? Tear that shit down. You know what I mean? Just like over here, I decided to step down from dealing with this over here because the thing is that the lady in the office, she knows what I was trying to do over here, and she's steady bringing people over here, messing everything up. Then the people that I was working with, everybody's got something going on.
Right.
Everybody's got something going on, and that's fine. But what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to stress myself out dealing with a bunch of ignorant motherfuckers. I'm just not going to do it.
That's
you
right.
You know what I mean? And so
it's much more
deeper than that. And so
right.
I stepped down from it. Like, I'm not doing any more community functions over here because my thing is that if you're associating with people who are of the community and this and that,
mm-hmm.
then why can't you and that person come to an agreement, call a meeting,
mm-hmm.
and set shit in order? You know what I mean? And plus, too, I got better things to do with my life right now, you know what I mean? And so I stepped down, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people didn't really like that, you know what I mean? I sent out notices or whatnot with different people and, you know, messages and stuff. A lot of people didn't really like that, and I just don't care because I did a lot over here, as well as others have. And I've sat down, I've watched how people act, I've seen this, I've seen that, and sometimes you just don't want to deal with that shit no more, you know what I mean? And the sad part is you can try to help somebody for so long, and at the end of the day, you're going to come to realization that, wait a minute, they don't want to be helped. And basically, these people don't want to be helped. They don't want to be
That's
helped.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
So
I
told myself, I'm not fooling with this over here no more. And so since I'm ready to move to a whole other community, I'm a fool with that community because at least some of the people over there, they want to be helped. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And the way it operates over here, if you're not out drinking every day, if you're not smoking drugs, if you're not a part of the whatever they want to call it, you know what I mean? If you're not a part of their clique and this and that, you know what I mean? You ain't nothing over here. And the sad part about it is, it's going to continue to be that way over here. You know, like I said, I was one of the individuals where I would invite different organizations to come over here. You know what I mean? You know,
right.
Then there was some times I told one organization, I said, don't let me catch y'all over here no more because y'all not trying to do shit. You know what I mean? But now I don't even care anymore because, again, some people don't care how they will affect your life, and sometimes you have to let go and let God, you know what I'm saying? And eventually, if we can't help ourselves, the government, the police, all these people that we are uncomfortable with, they're going to fix it for us, you know what I mean? And
I agree
have to
with
realize
you.
That to myself. I have to mm-hmm. realize that to myself. And the sad part is you can love your people, but when you're dealing with ignorant people like this, what I deal with, sometimes you got to feed them with a long-handled spoon and just pray
mm-hmm.
for them and move on about your business because if you want to change your life, it's going to start with you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
I agree.
I
agree 100%. I do agree, King.
I mean, it's sad. It's very
sad.
Well,
you know, people, I used to think it was sad. I have no feelings anymore because people want to live their lives. And then I have to think back, you know, I may not agree. You know, I'm not about to change your life. If you know what's bad and good for you. You know if you're drinking, running around, cheating on your wife, whatever. You know what could possibly happen. I could tell you all day, don't cheat on your wife, don't cheat on your wife. And next thing I know that I see what this, you know, fine girl who looks 23
mm-hmm.
and her ass is bam and everything. And she's not nagging you and everything. And maybe you work all day and you come home and she's not appreciating you. That's still no excuse. But anyway, I know the excuses. I used to do it. I'm not going to tell. I said, okay, you know what's right and wrong. And either I'll see you in jail, I'll see you dead. And have a good life. Because you're making that choice. I got to a point where I tried to help people, King, and I try to do this with the business and everything. And I get tired. And people don't appreciate free stuff. People don't appreciate free stuff. People think you're going to be there forever. People think I'm going to be on the radio forever. I'm not. But what I'm trying to say is if you don't want to help yourself, you find no value in you. We have a guy on a show used to come on. We call him the Joker. We're not using his name anymore. This guy doesn't even – he doesn't have any value in himself. So why should I put value in this individual or show him that he has value? And I'm looking hard at this person, and he has no value. I'm seeing he has no value, so I got to start believing him that he is a piece of shit. So I you convinced me you're a piece of shit. I'm moving on. I'm not trying to save the world. I'm trying to save my ass, and that's why Brother Jadid, who has the great philosophy, the love, the faith, and to carry on to still help. And as long as we got people like him, Brother Jadid and you, King, I'm okay to sit back and say, you guys take over now. I'm going on vacation. I'm okay. Brother Jadid, thank you so much. And during the interview here, we usually give you 30 seconds, something that maybe we didn't touch on that's really important to you. If you have a fundraiser going on, please mention that and how people can contribute to your cause. And it's all yours, Brother Jadid, and thank you for coming on the show, and your 30 seconds is yours.
Thank you, sir. I'll try to make it quick, man. First, I want to just thank God and the ancestors and the wisdom and the people that followed, you know, for these blessings and protecting me, protecting us, protecting our universe, and protecting our people. I want to thank, my wife, my mom, my family, the hood, all hoods, you know, specifically 28th Street and Broadway, the south side of Phoenix, all of the south side of Phoenix and 28th Street and Broadway. And I just want to say baby steps and consistency. You know, before I started exercising, I used to exercise for, you know, a whole 2 weeks straight, and then I ended up stopping. And then I realized, man, why do I keep stopping? So what I did was, instead of me going hard for 2 weeks, which wasn't realistic, I would do baby steps. I'd do 25 push-ups maybe once a week, or even just wake up and just do 2 push-ups. But the consistency of doing 2 push-ups once a week, something realistic, and my consistency grew. So baby steps and consistency is a key that this universe and a lot of people are missing. Don't try to do everything at once. Start off little by little and do baby steps and consistency. And I just want to end off with, you know, definitely baby steps and consistency. Do not forget that, please. It is very important. That will change your life. Continue to do that for the rest of your life. Baby steps and consistency in the righteousness of love, the path of love. And I'll end with this. And that's one thing the brother was saying. You know, it is dangerous in the hood, you know. And when me living there, you know, being from the south side, I understand that. But we can also, and I like to not look at everything as, you know, just literal. You know, sometimes you can give back by, you know, you have George Gervin school. You have a George Gervin school on the south side. You know, you have the Campbells. You know, they have schools in the south side. It's ways to, you know, some people may not want to move back, but you can still give back by, you know, joining the organizations that's in the hood and giving your input on how to, you know, teach the children better, or how to teach the children a different way, or build a school in the hood, you know, or like me being on the radio right now, I'm sure this is helping somebody in the hood. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's all kinds of ways to give back, and that just goes, that connects with fasting too. When you do fasting, it forces you to use a different part of your mind and your brain. So fasting is a direct correlation to using a different part of your mind, to where you can, you know, actually learn how to give back in a different way. You may not want to move back, but you can still give back to the hood in a different way. So it's all kind of ways to, you know, give back and just show love. But the main key is love God, follow God, follow righteousness, follow love. You know, if you don't feel like you don't believe in God, then believe in love. You know, love is God, you know. But follow love, follow God, love yourself, work, baby steps and consistency. Focus on your family. Keep your family together, and you know, let's change this planet, and let's unify, family. Let's come together in love, and let's unify, and let's rebuild this new world and build a new planet. And I love you, family. Amen. I love you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Amen. Thank you. It's my honor to have you on, Brother Jadid. And how can people reach you? Do you have a fundraiser going on? You got an email, donations? People send donations somewhere? Do you have anything like that?
Well, I cut hair at the League Barbershop on 42nd Street and China Boulevard. You can reach me at my number is 602-434-0626. And I repeat, my number is 602-434-0626. If you need a haircut, you need a traveling barber, you know, just give me a call. And like I said, I'm at the League Barbershop. It's on 42nd Street and China Boulevard in Ahwatukee.
There you go. All right. There you go. I would even travel. I'm in California. I would travel to get a good haircut. Maybe in six months, I'm going to Arizona just to get a haircut. I mean, I'm not even going to see the family. I'm just going to get a haircut. I'm going to get the hell out of town. You convince me that you're the place I want to be. Thank you, Brother Jadid. There you go. Support Brother Jadid. And save your family by investing in them. That's the message. That's one of the messages I got, and I love it. All right, we'll be right back. Donald Trump called the...
You can if some people they fly me out or they pay get a bus ticket for me to come to them to cut their hair, you know, in their city. So if you'd like to do something like that too, I'm available for that too.
Well, when I do my new film, you're on my crew. And just to hang around me, keep me morally right in cutting my hair. Morally right. I'm gonna need somebody to talk to. Now, Mr. Brother Brian, you can't treat people like that. I just need somebody like that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir, for coming. You're welcome. We'll be right back. Donald Trump says that the women's soccer team lost their first match, the Olympics. They were supposed to take gold. And the embarrassment of the men's basketball, oh, my God, the shame. And they lost against France, for all people. But Donald Trump saw the women's soccer, Olympic soccer team. He calls them losers, and they're demented people. And the reason they lost is because they were woke. He blamed wokeness on them being a loser and demented. You hear that story that's coming up next. Brother Jadid, thank you so much for coming in. Please support Brother Jadid. Thank you, King, for introducing me to Brother Jadid. And thank you, Ellen, for bringing in some of the opinions that other people were thinking about. That was pretty good. We'll be right back with Hammer 96.7 BT Radio. And if you'd like to call in the studio, Ellen has the number if she's still listening. Ellen, what is the number people want to call in?
The number is 319-527-6099.
Thank you, Ellen. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And Ellen's in the studio today. Brother King is in the studio today. Brother Jadid is in the studio. I don't know how long Brother Jadid will be in the studio because what I'm going to be talking about, he does not want to hear. So I know he doesn't want to hear going. I love you, Brother Brian, but I can't hear this stuff. But come on in the studio and join us. We'll be right back. Brother Jadid. That's right. You know,
thank you, sir.
You know, this is a business, and we do have three or four sponsors coming aboard next week, and you will hear me talk about them on the radio. So I'm not going to talk about them until they come on the radio and they pay me. Did I say that out loud? Maybe I shouldn't. What the hell is business? King understands it. Yeah, right, Brother Brian. But they'll be coming. Again, King's in the studio. Mr. King Webb is in the studio. His music, I Don't Give a Damn, and Don't Get Caught in My Web. He has some new stuff that he's working on, too. And he's been working behind the scenes with a lot of producers and also a lot of artists. When King first came in the studio, he was a musician. I'm not saying just a musician, but his main focus was on music. And as I got to know King, he expanded to business and creating new platforms for artists. And not only that, working with the artists. And he's been a power player. I'm very proud to see that happen. And his friends that he invites on the show, I can tell that the man is a powerhouse in business and morality, and that's King Webb. So don't forget to support Mr. King Webb. Buy his single. I mean, they're going through the roof like crazy. If you're not on his Facebook feed, you can reach Mr. King Webb at Mr. King Webb. How can they reach you? And you can reach him there. And yeah, this is called live radio, so I'm going to have to stall for a little bit. And yes, and just in case you didn't hear how to reach Mr. King Webb, you can reach him on Facebook, and then you can reach him on Twitter. But reach out to him. If you are a musician, and especially if you're trying to produce something and everything, get in contact. You can get him in contact on this show. He's on the show every day, so just come on to the show and say, hey, King, what's up? And I'll like, trade information right there. Ellen Johnson, 10 years she was my executive producer. 10 years she brought in major talent. 10 years she gave me a headache. 10 years she challenged me, and she challenged our guests, and I love every minute of it. Ellen Johnson has her own business called Ellen Gifts and More. That's right, Ellen Gifts and More. Once you go to Ellen Gifts and More, you want no more because she has the more. Ellen, how do people get you? You got a special going on and our free giveaway Friday. But what's your latest special, Alan?
I sure do.
What's your latest special?
I sure do. Right now.
Wait, let's talk about your giveaway, though. What's the latest special that you're giving away this Friday?
Yeah, I'm giving away free samples of Java Mama coffee. And they have all kinds of flavors from, like, chocolate caramel kisses. That's what you saw on my Facebook yesterday. I had some of that. That's really good. We have Rainbow Forest Crunch. We have Jamaica Me Crazy. All kinds of different coffee. And you can, if you have a Keurig, we have the K-Pods, the K-Cups that you can use. If you have a regular coffee maker, we have the automatic, you know, the grind, the automatic drip coffee maker. And, you know, you can get it in whole bean, too, if you want to grind your own coffee. So that is my special for this Friday, a free sample of Java Mama coffee so that you can try it before you buy it.
There you go. Thank you, Ellen. And don't forget my new book on the mix, my new book called Y'all Just Plain Stupid. Now, I like this book because I put my heart into this book. Don't forget, Y'all Just Stupid. And this is a romantic book about trying to destroy your marriage by doing stupid shit. Don't do stupid shit. So get the book if you want to stay together, and if you're having relationship problems or marriage problems, get the book. Y'all Just Stupid by Brian Hammer Jackson. Thank you. Doing my part to move society forward. All right, guys. We'll be right back. Donald Trump called the soccer women, our American soccer Olympic people, demented and stupid because they're woke. You're not going to believe this story. Thank you again, and we'll be right back getting more coffee. Java Mama. Java Mama. Ellen has it. Java Mama. Ellen's going to sell the coffee to the people. Go get some Java Mama. It's on the shelf right now. Drink your coffee. Get this. I have no more words. Sing it, Mary J.
Situations at the door, so grab somebody and get your ass on the dance floor.
Let's get it funky, on up, on up, on up.
You're listening to Hammer Radio Network, and if you're listening to me, you did the right thing. All right, I'm Brian the Hammer Jackson, and we got Celebrity A-List in the studio. We got the King of Kings, Mr. King Webb. We have Brother Jadid. We have Ellen J. in the morning. And we're talking about the pandemic, but there is a group out there who cannot take the shot. There's a group out there that they may have autism, or they may have some immune system, or they may have something that they can't take the shot. And we also have to be mindful of those people. But, you know, what divides us, and I'm not going to talk long on this, is because we don't like other people's decisions. And we tend to criminalize them and call them names because we don't agree with it. And if you want to know what's wrong with our country and why we're so divided, it's because of that. That I think we lost the respect. Whether we agree with you or don't agree with you, but I think we lost the respect of to agree to disagree. That's gone. And we have these fools in the White House, both sides, acting like children, and they're picking sides. And they're sending you misinformation on both sides to keep their asses in their seat. Their only agenda is to keep their asses in the seats and their job. Trump supporters would say Trump's more, knowing that it's not true, but they know that the big base in their area that keeps them working. They're going to say shit. Their jobs, that's what their job is. So to take them at face value, you really can't. You got to take the information with a grain of salt. Be an educated person. Just because I went to college, but doesn't mean I'm smarter than anybody else. I know this guy in the corner who barely went to high school, and man, I learned a lot of things from him. And I'm not trying to joke. We don't know everything. But here's one thing I do know. Just because somebody does not agree with you or agree with your values or do not believe what you believe in, we got to quit criminalizing them and attacking them because they don't come to our side. And that's what's been happening in our country. We lost that. We lost that I respect that you don't agree with me. And I don't agree with you, but I still respect you as a person. And we could bring that back. Maybe we could quit being so divided because that's what we lost. Enough of me preaching like that. And I just had to say it whether you listen to me or not. You know, life is about compromising and learning. And even if you disagree with somebody, you can still learn something from them. Why do they agree? Why do they think this way? What makes them react this way? And maybe we should do that instead of criminalizing them, going, well, talk to me. And they may have some information that you don't know. It could be possible. And when we hear people, this is an opinionated show, and I love Ellen with her opinion, and she's forthright and she sticks to her guns. She's pretty good. But also I want to let her know that there are people out there, there's a certain section of people out there that cannot take the shot. They can't. We can go with the kids under 12 who cannot take the shot. We can go with people who have a compromised immune system that they cannot take the shot. So to absolutely go after somebody, I'm not saying she's wrong because I took the shot. I do believe you should be vaccinated. But I'm saying that we also have to rethink and say, okay, I understand. And then if I hear anybody goes, well, I took the shot and you're compromising me, I'm not mad at that person who's not taking a shot. I'm more mad at the medical profession saying that if I did take the vaccine, you said that I'm protected from these guys. You said that I can... it's harder for me to take it. You said I will not end up in a hospital, no matter if the next guy with me didn't take it or not. That's what you said. So I'm not mad at the person who's not vaccinated, because if you're telling me the truth, then I should be protected from the unvaccinated people. And now that you're telling me to wear a mask, I'm beginning to question your thoughts and your agenda, because I took it because you said it would be. Then you say, well, you can't die. Well, there's a lot of things can happen to you that you don't have to die. Well, you're not going to get in a ventilator. I don't plan on getting in a ventilator. Well, you know, give me a reason. But when you say, well, all these unvaccinated people, and I don't like what's happening here, because, and I think the media is starting this war. And I think people, lightheaded people, are buying into the war. And what the war is going on right now is political. It's vaccinated people against unvaccinated people. It's like we need to start some shit with each other. And this is ridiculous, and this is a political agenda. So we can't fall back into this because, see, our leaders need us to fight. They need this diversity. They need to divide us so they can go to one side and keep the votes and keep their asses in their seats, protecting their own job. Forget about the people. This is protecting their jobs. And if we fall down this road about attacking vaccinated people, which the media, both sides, are saying we should do, and we're getting to a point where we're getting mad at the unvaccinated people to a point where you're the one who's causing this shit. You're the one I have to wear a mask, and I'm vaccinated. If we fall for that bullshit, this is what they want. We got to stop. Your media wants you to get rid of Facebook. Morning Joe, my favorite show, is saying, hey, Facebook is killing people. Morning Joe said that a week ago. No. President Biden said that a week ago. Facebook are killing people. Facebook is not killing people. And let me tell you something. If you let the government get into your head to regulate and say that Facebook is responsible for death, for misleading information, Facebook is a business, people. Get mad at your farmers. Get mad at Big Pharma, your medical people. Those are the people who are killing people. Those are the people who are getting you addicted to codeine. Those are the people who are getting you addicted to all these drugs. Those are the doctors that you go to who have their hand in Big Pharma's pocket prescribing drugs to you, which they should not. Those are the people. Facebook, it's a business. It's an ad, and a business says this. They're going to do it. They're going to post the ad. Facebook is a platform for people who can voice their opinion, whether it's true or not. They are not your policemen. They are not your brothers. They are not your pastors. It's a platform where people can post, and the government wants to say regulate Facebook. They are taking away your freedom. They don't want you to talk. I don't care. I have a friend, good friend, love him to death, Kevin. And Kevin happens to believe in aliens and things. And I have other friends who believe in the afterlife. And I have other friends who are clergy. Blah, blah. I had friends who were witches, for God's sake. I had one lady says, well, what's your email? I said, my email was Hammer, AOD. They go, what does AOD stand for? And I said, Angel of Darkness. And that was supposed to be my musical name. She goes, Angel of Darkness? I go, yeah, I can't do business with you. I go, why? Well, it sounds like you're worshiping the devil. I said, no. Then why would you see what's happening here? You see what's happening. So I'm not mad at the unvaccinated people. They have the right to be unvaccinated, whatever reason they have, and it's good enough for them to risk death. You got to remember, it is good enough for them to risk death, whatever their opinion is, and they hear it. They see it. But they have a strong voice on it. So don't blame them. And get into this vaccinated and unvaccinated war, which the political machine and the government, including Biden, wants you to get into, because their agenda is to vaccinate people, even people that people feel like they should not be vaccinated. Don't get into that, and don't get mad at unvaccinated people. They are not the cause for you to wear a mask. The people who cause for you to wear a mask, that you get mad at Big Pharma because you're lying to us, and you're saying that we are protected, we don't have to wear a mask, and now you're coming on TV saying we have to wear a mask. I'm mad at you going, what's up with that shit? What do I don't know? Because you're telling me that if I wear a mask and people beside me are not vaccinated, it's hard for me to catch it. And if I do, I'm not getting in the hospital. Now I'm catching it, and some of us are going to hospital. What's up with that? Well, blame it on the unvaccinated people. No, I'm blaming it on you, motherfucker. You're the one who told me that I'm protected. We have to really start thinking and open your minds and redirect what's going on here. And if I'm vaccinated and I'm catching this shit again, well, don't give me the excuse. Well, this is more dangerous. Fuck you. You put that shit in my body? I should be protected from measles, mumps, diarrhea. alcoholism, drug abuse. I should be protected from every fucking thing. Don't tell me, well, there's a new virus and we just don't know about it. Then why are you passing this shit out if you don't know anything about it? And why am I looking at this political bullshit about unvaccinated people are the reason why? It's like, that's bullshit. That's passing the buck. Don't believe that bullshit. Unvaccinated people didn't do. You should have done your job as a big farmer who you're saying that you got this drug that's supposed to protect us, and it's not protecting us, so what are you going to do? You're going to blame the unvaccinated people? Come on, man. That is weak. Instead of attacking the unvaccinated people, get your fucking ass back to the lab and give us a better dose to protect us from these guys. Because they have freedom of choice and they can run around with this. But you're saying, I'm taking a risk for checking, you know, trusting you so you can put this shit in my system. And you're supposed to say it's supposed to protect me. If it's not protecting me, it's on you, not them. And we got to stop this war between us because that's what Big Pharma wants us to do. Don't blame the disease. Let's divert. Don't blame the vaccine. You got to blame the unvaccinated people. That's a diversion. Oh, okay. Okay, the vaccine. And by the way, you might want to take a booster. Why? Well, these unvaccinated people, there's just too many of them. We need chat. You see how the mind works. You should have developed a vaccine that protects me that you said it would be. And if you don't have that, screw you. And I'll rely on my immune system to heal myself, and I'll take the precaution of wearing the mask, and I'll still do the 6 foot. But don't come to me and say, take this and you're protected, and I find out that I'm not. That is my opinion on here. Before we move on, anybody else has any opinion on it? Miss Ellen, do you have an opinion on that? Okay.
All right. I was muted.
Okay.
You know,
they're trying
to
do a war. They're trying to do a war on us, Ellen. They're trying, and the pharmaceutical company, the political machine, and the government wants all people to be vaccinated. This is their agenda. They did everything that they possibly could. They offered rewards, lottery tickets, free beer, tickets to this. They tried to even bribe you to take the shot. This is their agenda. It starts with, hey, you could die. Okay, that's enough incentive for me. But when you start arguing me with barbecue chicken wings and lemonade so I could take a shot, something's seriously wrong going on here, but that's their agenda. So they didn't reach their agenda, so what are they going to do? They're going to scare you to death. And they tried to scare us with the numbers, and they found out that, hey, you know what, the numbers are mixed, so we can't scare them with that way. Let them get mad at, now we do a campaign saying the reason the vaccinated people are catching the disease is because there's so many unvaccinated people out there. So now they want you to do their dirty work, so now they want the vaccinated people to get mad at the unvaccinated people to get your ass vaccinated so we're doing their dirty work for them. What do you say about that?
Well, you know, Brian, okay, you know, I really don't know what to say.
Exactly, because we don't have enough information. There are people who
don't
have a shot. But see, that's the point, Ellen. There are people who don't have a shot who have had COVID, who have recovered from COVID, didn't die of COVID. There are people who didn't have the shot in the hospital. They died. We don't know any information, but don't you think there's a war going on with this vaccinated against unvaccinated, which is the new war that they want, the political agenda wants us to do, and we get mad at the people who are unvaccinated? They're the reason why the surge is so high, because they're unvaccinated, and they're spewing their stuff at us. But we're supposed to be protected, Ellen, because you got the shot too. Why should we care who's unvaccinated when we're supposed to be, when we have the shot, that is supposed to protect us, right?
Yeah.
So why should we get mad at the unvaccinated people? We should be mad at Big Pharma saying, you lied to us, or did you lie to us? You're saying we're supposed to be protected. I don't care if they're unvaccinated or not. It's supposed to protect us from those guys. So you're saying if it doesn't protect us because the information's coming out, but we should get mad at them. There's too many people who are unvaccinated. This is why you're catching it. No, I'm catching it because you didn't do your job. You didn't perfect this vaccine. You didn't protect me enough. It's not about them. It's about the vaccine I took. What do you think about that, kiddo? Who should I get mad at?
I mean, okay, maybe you should get mad at both. okay, the people that aren't doing their, you know, they don't
really
care enough about themselves, about their community, about their family to get vaccinated and get mad at the pharmaceutical companies.
Well, that's what they said about people on welfare, right? Why are you having kids, have so much kids, and I have to take care of those kids because it's out of my taxes there. You should not have kids. But yet that woman is having 6 or 7 kids, and she's on welfare, and then you're blaming her. You're the reason why my taxes go up. No, it's not. So what are we going to do? We're going to sterilize that woman so she cannot have kids, so our taxes, we don't pay that many taxes? It's the same thing. When you say that we're blaming people instead of the people who gave us the bill of sale saying, take this, you're protected. Okay. Well, we're not protected. Well, what's going on? Well, those other people are, there's just too many. They didn't take their shot. So what am I supposed to do? Tell them to take their shot, and then you're going to be okay. That's not my job. I bought in taking the vaccination to protect myself, and I realize I'm not protected. And all they can say to me, well, at least you're not dead. What? That's the other argument. I know, it's ridiculous to say it, right? Well, at least you're not dead. Yeah. Well, what are you complaining about? Okay. We're going to go on to Trump, but I just... Exactly. Oh, at least you're not on a ventilator. See you later. Hope you glow in the dark. What do you think, Mr. King Webb and Mr. Brother? I know, Jadid, and hello, Latia. I mean, and we'll go on to Donald Trump, but what do you think about that argument? I mean, they're trying to do a war of vaccinated against unvaccinated. They're trying to get us to fight each other. And we're trying to do the government bidding by putting pressure on people who don't want to be vaccinated. Since the government, they want to listen to the government, so they're going to put it on us to get mad at them, to pressure them to take something. You think that's what's going on right now? Because I absolutely do. Anybody? Jump on in.
Well, they said that, you know, okay, this is the thing that my news is calling it. They're calling it a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Right. And there we go again. You're already doing it. You're already now starting war with people who are unvaccinated. It's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. That title alone gets you guys to fight people and divide people. That's not right. Again, there's a small pocket of people who cannot take the vaccine because they do have some kind of problems. There are kids who under 12 who cannot take the vaccine. So having that title as a pandemic of unvaccinated people, there's a big group of these people. What are we doing, attacking them? I know 3 or 4 people who cannot take the vaccine because they have lung problems or health problems or breathing problems or kidney problems or whatever, and the vaccine can make it worse. And even the medical people are saying, don't take the vaccine, it's not for you. So what do we do with those people? Should we criminalize those people too? Because they can't take the vaccine. So it's a war. And we got to stop that, to go after each other. That's it.
Yeah, I agree, man. You know, I definitely agree. It's like, you know, the reason, one of the main reasons that the black community is so divided and so we're going through so much, man, because, you know, divide and conquer. You know, in slavery, the slave or the so-called slave master, I don't call him no master, but I call him the so-called slave master. He understood that in order to separate the black people, he had to divide us, and that's how he could conquer us. Because he cannot conquer us when we're united. So divide and conquer, divide and conquer. You know, they keep us divided, and they have their way with us. You know, as long as we're arguing and fighting with each other, they do whatever they want with us. They keep us on drugs. They keep us focused on. They keep our energy focused on things that keep us away from uniting and in love, in true love.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we're not focusing on love, then they can divide us and they can have their way with us. And that's what they've been doing. That's what they're doing. They're doing that, and they continue to do that. You know, they keep a lot of people dumbed down, and they keep it that way. They work to keep it that way, but a lot of us are, and that's why they. And you said it earlier, Donald Trump, he blames the losing of the Olympics on being woke. No, that's not the reason, because when you woke, you play better, stronger mindset when you woke. They're trying to keep us away from being woke, because woke means you're coming together in true love, and you're waking the people up to what's really going on. So yeah, I definitely agree with you, Brother Brian, man. You definitely hit it on the nail, man. I definitely agree. They're trying to keep us separated and trying to keep us arguing and fighting with the mixed information. And, you know, they're just trying to keep us separated so they can keep us, you know, divide and conquer. They're trying to keep us separated.
Exactly, for their own agenda. And thank you, Brother Jadid, because the transition is here. Here you go. Brother Jadid just said it. Here he is. Here's the headline. Trump said the U.S. women's soccer team lost to Sweden in the Olympics because of wokeism. That's what this guy said. And I don't know why we're still listening to this guy, but that's what he said. The U.S. women's soccer team lost to Sweden in an Olympic match earlier this week. Donald Trump used the loss as an example for why wokeism is bad for America. Trump credits the team's loss to wokeism, and he may be referring certain players' activism. Now, I'm going to also read another story that I actually do agree with Donald Trump, but this one, he's off his meds. Donald Trump thinks he has an explanation for why the U.S. women's soccer team lost to Sweden at the Tokyo Olympics, and I saw that. The former president spoke at a rally to protect our elections in Phoenix, because this guy still thinks he's the president, by the way, so take what he says for the grain of salt. You know what I mean? I go over King's house, and King's sitting on the throne, and King wants to knight me, is saying, well, now you're Sir Brian. I'm getting the hell out. As much as I love King, I'm saying, you know, I think he smoked some bad shit, but I still like him. But this guy still thinks he's the president of the United States. So take that for what it's worth. Trump put on Twitter, Trump wokeism makes you lose. Trump says wokeism makes you lose, ruins your mind, and ruins you as a person. You become warped. You become demented. The U.S. women's soccer team is a good example of what's going on. So if you're woke, Trump thinks you are demented. You are warped, and it ruins your mind. I think we have them. Oh, here we go. Oh, see, I can't make this shit up. So you have to hear it from the dumb fuck and his own, former president of the United States. Oh, shit. I got to remember, I got an audience who likes them, too. I got to remember my audience. I got some Trump supporters in my audience that I can't afford to lose them. So, yeah, I'm pipping myself out only to a certain degree. But I got to play the respect. Here he is. Let's give him his song because he hasn't heard this in months. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, the former president of the United States, Donald Trump. Here he is. We got to put the words in. I am Donald, I am Donald J. Trump. I lost the election, but I won't give up. I will rout my people, we will storm the Capitol. Because the USA belongs to me, only me. And the people that follow me are not very bright, but I like them because they are kind of stupid. Yay me, I am Donald J. Trump. I used to be the former president, but I will rise again in August. Yay! iTunes people, get it? Why?
You get that?
All right. I can't help it.
Come here, stop. Listen to Joe.
And here is Donald Trump talking about wokeism and the Olympics.
Wokeism makes you lose, ruins your mind, and ruins you as a person. You become warped. You become demented. The U.S. women's soccer team is a very good example of what's going on.
You have the nerve to boo the women's soccer team who is representing America and we're sending our best to Tokyo, and you have the nerve to boo America? This is what's really going on. Here we go.
Women's soccer team is a very good example of what's going on. Earlier this week, they unexpectedly lost to Sweden 3-0. And
why are you clapping and cheering when our Olympic team loses and then you boo them? Anybody see what's going on here? Why are you clapping that our best of our best that we send to Tokyo to represent the United States, you're cheering that they lost?
Lost to Sweden 3-0. And Americans were happy about it. Wokeism makes you lose.
And so he goes on. He goes on. Trump has repeatedly opposed awareness for such issues in the past, especially in sports. And we're going to go into that because this is the one I agree on. He referred to the NFL players who – not this one, not this part, but our next segment. I do agree on him in sports, but not this part. He's talking about the kneeling and the protests of the police brutality and – then he says, black communities are sons of bitches. I remember he brought that up. He blamed the NBA declining ratings on Black Lives Matter. This time around, Trump figures to be taking aim at the political activism and blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, Trump encourages his crowd on Saturday to boo their own women's soccer team during its Olympic run in the coming days. So they lost the first round. He blames it on wokeism. Now, here's the problem. You guys don't know the backstory. The backstory was, I think it was 2016, not quite sure. Trump invited the women's soccer team to the White House, and they said no. They attacked some of the people on the soccer team, women's soccer team, attacked Trump saying he's an idiot and a buffoon. He didn't forget that. So any chance, so this is his way. So you light-minded people out there, this is Trump's revenge on the women's soccer team. And you have to remember, they're fighting for, this is our Olympic team. This is representing America. They're walking around with the American flag. They're wearing the American outfit. He's attacking them because they lost, because they didn't come to the White House when he asked them to, and some of them got mad, didn't. So he's attacking them now, and he has the nerve to say, and this is a president, former president of the United States, saying he is encouraging the crowd on Saturday to boo their own women's soccer team during the Olympic run in the coming days. A former president of the United States is telling Americans to boo the American team, the women's soccer players. He's doing that. This is your president. Do I even have time to even short thing? I already know what you think, Ellen. I'm going to come to you last. But, King, what do you feel about that? As much as you're on the fence, what do you feel like a former president of the United States is telling the Americans to boo their own team because he's mad at them? How do you feel? And there, how do you feel about that?
I don't even know what to say. I don't even know.
I just don't. There's no words. Again, the next story, I happen to agree with him, and Press got mad. But this, he's mad at them because they did not come last time. He's mad at them because they said some mean things to him before. So now he's going to attack them 4 years later. Doesn't matter if they're representing the United States. It doesn't matter if they're carrying a flag. He wants us to boo them because they've been woke and they're demented. He turned on his own people. He turned on his people that are representing the United States of America. Is this an American? Come on, man. Come on. All right, we're going to go. I already know what you think, Ellen. And so I'm going to go up with the next story, and then that's it. Because this is the one I agree upon. And I hate to say it. I do agree on this with Trump. And I don't have it. Wait a minute. Oh, here it is. I do. Let me set it up. So, no, I'm not going to. It needs no setup. Here we go. I'm just going to run it. This one I happen to agree with him on. And it's really about, he's talking about transgender athletes. He's actually talking about transgender athletes. And here it is from his own voice. From his own voice.
He's being crushed. Men are being allowed to compete in women's sports. How do you like that? Free speech is being crushed. Men are being allowed to compete in women's sports. How do you like that? Think of that. How fair is it? Did you see the weightlifter? I hate to tell you this, women, but he shattered your longstanding record. This guy gets up, boom, boom. Like a 9-year record. Sonny, a 9-year record. Boom. Did he do it with one hand, you know? It's so unfair. It's so unfair, so ridiculous. I'll be honest, though. Look, we all like to win. If I were a coach, I'll tell you, I wouldn't be talking to too many women as we know women. I'd be getting some of these people that they're women. Somebody said that if LeBron James ever decided to get the operation, how would he be? How would he be on the court? And by the way, LeBron James, you can have him. Did you see the basketball ratings, which were terrible, but they went up after his team was defeated? So, and that's happening. It's in sports, and people don't want to see it. They want to see athletes. They want to see competition. But the last thing they want to see is men competing in women's sports, because very soon you're not going to have women competing anymore. I hate to say it, okay? I hate to say it. You're going to have a coach have a full team, and that team is going to win the national championship so easily, you're not going to have women competing. They're taking away your rights. That's really a women's rights movement. You can't let that happen.
Okay, I cannot argue with that logic, because that's coming. That is coming.
Yep. Oh,
he is right. And women, you shoot yourself in the pantyhose. I mean, let me tell you something. You open that gate up. You open that gate up that let's accept everybody. And you got right now, you got what's her name? One of the Kardashians, Jenner, or Caitlyn, whatever, running for governor of California, who wants to replace Newsom. Now, you're saying, well, what does that have to do with sports? Well, it has to do with a lot of things. It's the mindset. It's the message. And when you and I don't understand why women allow this. I don't. What is wrong with you women? I don't understand why you allow a transgender, because just because he calls himself a woman, to be accepted as a woman. You work so hard for women's rights and women's organizations and women this and women this, and men are doing this, and all of a sudden you got a woman who has a testicle or two, still thinks like a man, just because they say they're a woman. And I don't even understand how a man could even think as a woman. Unless you get a brain transplant, there's no way in hell a man could think as a woman and vice versa. There's no way. So you can get your artificial tits, you can get your steroids, you can get your artificial pussy, you can get your pocket pussy, and you call yourself a woman, but you're never going to be a woman. You cannot think like a woman. Biologically, you cannot think like a woman because of the changes of their bodies. So when you open up this gate about them coming in and participating in women's sports, you are setting yourself back 50 years, because I do agree with Trump. If I was a sports owner, I'm getting transgenders to play basketball in the women's league. I'm the WWF. Hell, I'm getting transgenders on my team. And that puts you guys in a back seat. Now, Ellen, I know you're a staunch hater of Trump, but he makes sense here. Do you agree?
You know what? I can't agree with anything that man says. I just don't like the way he's being shady.
I know that you hate him, but he has a point, doesn't he?
I don't hate him.
I do. It's okay to hate him. He says stupid, moronic things.
That,
I understand.
You know, I don't hate him. I just don't agree with the shit that he says or he does.
So you don't agree, seriously, you don't agree that if you got a basketball player and an owner and he's in the women's league, that he could put five or six transgenders who are 6'7" that could dunk a basketball.
I don't agree with that.
Then you agree with him. If you don't agree with that, then you agree with what he said.
I mean, it's not just because of him. Okay, Brian, remember I told you that Louisiana was doing their first veto session in over 50 years?
Yeah.
Okay, that was one of the main bills that they were trying to get overturned that Governor Edwards, put into law, that transgenders cannot play on a women's team.
I agree with him 100%. They should not.
That's what I'm saying. That was not overturned. Actually, none of the bills that he vetoed
got overturned
by the legislature.
Do you, do you agree, because I'm looking at the time, I want to get Brother Jadid in, I want to get King in it, but do you agree that if Trump is saying, if we keep going around this way, and we keep putting transgender into women's sports, do you agree that it will change the way women's sports are?
Yeah, I do agree. I don't agree. I don't think that, transgender should be put on women's teams because they have an unfair advantage.
Then you agree with Donald Trump then?
I didn't know that he was for that, but I agree that they shouldn't be on there.
So you can't really physically say this because it hurts you so much to say, yes, I agree with Donald Trump. It's not in your DNA. You cannot say that.
No, I can say that I agree with Donald Trump if this is what he's saying.
Okay. This is what he's saying. Okay, Ellen. I'll take it.
I didn't know that he was against it. I didn't even know
that he was
against it. All I knew was, that was one of the bills that our legislature was trying to get overturned from Governor Edwards.
And it didn't work. I mean, and back in the day when we called a man a pussy, we didn't take it literally like he actually has one, but I understand. And Brother Jadid, do you agree with Donald Trump saying that if we keep allowing this mutation, and I'll use the word because nobody else is going to use the word, I'll use it, this mutation of men transitioning into women and vice versa, I'm calling it a mutation, and if we allow – if we go to a point where you do what you want to do with your own body, may peace be with you. But when you start going into my little girl's school and you are now, because it's going to come to the kids and there's going to be some woke, now I'm not going to use the woke, but I agree with you with woke, but there's going to be some kid in there, in the hood, in your city, that's going to be a transgender, and you got your little girl in school, and then all of a sudden he's dressing for the little girl's soccer team and everything, and he has the strength of a boy, and some little girls are getting hurt. How do you feel about this, Brother Jadid?
Well, so you asked me about, people changing their bodies or such as transgenders. So, So what I would think is, I'm always going to go with the – one thing I would say is, a lot of people think about wrong and right, and I just think about – I also think about the universal way, When you think about the structure of a family, we have to keep peace in the house, to even have children, you need a man and a woman to have children. So it's like – Picture two men getting together. You can't have children. That's natural. That's biology. You can't have children. Mm-hmm. So
to look at it that way, if we wanna save our race, then you have to have man and woman. Unless mm-hmm. somebody, I mean, that's the only way I see it done, is the man and a woman. So to mm-hmm. go out of that, to go opposite of that order, we're actually hurting ourselves. We're hurting our race of human life. That's mm-hmm. kind of like, it kind of reminds me of global warming. To go out of the normal way of a man and a woman, which mm-hmm. has, which produces children, to go mm-hmm. out of that direction, that reminds me of global warming. So
right.
It, to me, it's actually hurting our community. It's hurting our race. It's hurting our planet. You know, what I would
right.
say about that, yeah, man, mm-hmm. and what I would say about the specific question is, mm-hmm. you know, hey, man, you know, one thing, I'm always about family, and I'm always going to stick to love. I'm not going to say nobody wrong or right. What I'm going to say is I'm going to stick to keeping a family together, keeping the family mm-hmm. at peace. First, mm-hmm. you have to have a man and a woman to have children. That's keeping the family. That's part of having a family. Keeping the family mm-hmm. together, why would you want to have a man and a woman and a child and then go opposite of that and start pretty much confusing the way the natural way of the way things are done? You pretty much reorganizing it. Why would you want to reorganize the structure of the man and the woman and the child? Because that's the way we have children. So why don't we keep that together? You know what I'm saying? So confusing things or making things, you know, doing things our own way, we're really setting up. It really feels like global warming to me. You know what I'm saying? It's really destroying
right.
the natural way of the way things are done. You know?
Right. It's you know, a human being's been playing around with biology since the war, changing things, changing your eyes. Dr. Magula, Dr. Death with World War II, putting dye into people's eyes so they could turn blue. It's just, they've been playing around with that since the beginning of time, you know. Penis pumps and breast reduction and breast, just stop it. And I'm going to go to the man who knows more about breasts than the average doctor, Mr. King. And King, you got kids, especially you got a girl. And it's getting to that point, I don't care where you live, that there's going to be some kid, a boy, who believes that he's a girl.
He's got two girls.
Yes, two girls. Thank you. You're pretty good. You're pretty good, Ellen. That's why I need you on the show.
Thank you,
and yeah, I know. She saves my ass more than once. But it's going to come, King. There are going to be some boys in that recess with her and going to be playing soccer or whatever the girls do, field hockey, and they're going to get rough and use elbows and everything. What are you going to do when that happens? Because you can't say shit because now they are female and they're boys. They didn't have the transition yet. They didn't have anything yet. They just said that they feel that they're girls. How are you going to feel about that shit? We're letting that shit in.
Well, you know, like I've mentioned before, I've already done set my kids down and I show them stuff. I talk to them. And when I say I show them stuff, I show them, you know, the proper stuff. I don't want to show them anything inappropriate, but I show them and I talk to them. And I believe when we speak on being about family, as you know, like Brother Jadir was saying, when we speak on family, we have to remember communication is key. So when we're about family, we have to make sure we talk to our families, you know what I mean? Explain to them the importance of this and that, right and wrong, you know, whatever, you know. And so I teach my kids this, you know, this isn't the way it really is, you know what I mean? And, you know, I teach them, you know what I mean? And I explain to them. But I tell them that's no reason to hate, you know? And I believe what's wrong with the world right now is we're taught to hate, you know what I mean? And personally, I don't think that's right. We should never be taught to hate, you know what I mean? You can dislike something, but you should never hate, you know what I'm saying? I mean, because everybody is different, you know what I mean? So
right.
I tell my kids,
right.
look, you're a boy, you know. I told my son, you're a boy. So this is what you. This is that. You know. I tell my girls,
mm-hmm.
you're a girl. This is that. I can't teach y'all how to be a girl, you know what I mean? Because I believe that's impossible. You know what I mean? There's a few things you can do, you know what I mean? But I can't teach them, you know what I mean? But it's different, you know what I mean? And, I mean, just like for an example, we was watching that old school movie, The Brady Bunch, and the part where Jan is talking to RuPaul, you know what I mean? Like, you know, they might have felt that's what they thought RuPaul was, but they don't really know what RuPaul really is, you know what I mean? And so, you know, this stuff has been around for ages, you know what I mean? I mean, it's been around, you know what I'm saying? I mean, back in the day, they were examining and switching all that, you know what I mean? You know, all that stuff was going on, you know? And so it's here, but it's up to us to teach our kids the right thing, you know what I mean?
Well,
and so many people, they don't want to do that, you know what I mean? You know? So many people would say, well, you know, what you're talking about is in the Old Testament. We in the New Testament, right? You know what I mean? All that crazy shit, you know what I mean? It's like, wait a minute. It's like, okay, so if you're gonna believe that New Testament and say, well, I think it's okay for us to be that way, well, then you have a lot of learning to do, because it's not okay. You know what I mean? It's not okay. You know what I mean? But if you feel it's okay, then that's your belief. But what I'm gonna say is, it's not okay to hate each other. It's not okay to judge each other. None of that stuff. You know what I mean? And so I believe being a family is important, and also talking to your family is important, and teaching them the right ways of life. You know what I mean? But like I said, when they start having all this stuff going on, all they're doing is they're dividing. They're dividing families. They're destroying, destroying humanity. I'll put it that way. You know what I'm saying? But I also feel everybody has the right to be who they want to be. You know what I'm saying? And that's that, you know. I don't care who you are. Just don't be trying to rub your dick on me or any of that crazy shit. You know what I mean? Don't be trying to hump on me. You know what I mean? I don't care who you are. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I accept everybody. You know what I'm saying? So just don't be trying to rub up against me and all that other crazy shit. You know what I mean? But you know.
No, you're right.
So it's crazy. You know what I mean? It's crazy, but. I don't understand how you can have an all-women's team and then you know that this individual is a man and has balls, and then I don't understand. I think they should have their own league, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, because what's going to happen is that man that's transforming himself into a woman is gonna mess around and mess with the wrong real female, and then bam, all hell's gonna break loose. You know what I'm saying?
And it will.
I don't know.
And you said that they should have their own league. Well, I don't think that's gonna work, because if they have their own transgender Olympics,
hell no.
Let's just say that Saudi Arabia will not be participating. Russia will not be participating. And anybody who represents Saudi Arabia or Russia, that motherfucker is going to be hung by the time he gets home. You know, they will kill his ass by the time they get home. But, you know, it's a sad state of affair when your Girl Scout troop says, kick her in the balls. That's when you know society has went crazy. Think about it. Kick her in the balls. Think about it. Transgender going to girls. You know, these Girl Scouts, kick her. All right. Didn't work. I want to thank Miss the infamous. Yeah, that's going to happen. Kick her in the balls. But we're Girl Scouts. She has them. She's a transgender.
Wow.
You can say, well, now, but that's going to happen. You know that. Kick her in the balls.
Oh, yeah.
Most
definitely. I mean, we ain't seen nothing yet.
Exactly.
We haven't seen nothing yet. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of people, they may not agree with this, but Obama and his significant other, they introduced the world of LGBT community, you know what I mean? They introduced that stuff, you know what I mean? Believe it or not, there's secret organizations that practice that stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I mean, it's a lot. You know what I mean? But my thing is,
right.
My thing is, when you bring a child into this world, if you don't want your child around smoke, you know, cigarette smoke, around bad profanity, you know, most of your common stuff that you want your children around, why do you want your children around this kind of stuff? Like, I'm confused, because you have a lot of parents, you know, they agree for their child to be this and that, and you know, but when they were young, the parent would say, well, I don't want them doing this and doing that. And I'm confused as to why they would want their child to be that kind of way. But when you was raising them, you don't want them to do this and that. And it's like, I would think that you would be confusing the child. You know what I mean? So,
well, you are,
know,
but
I don't know.
The problem of it is now they're a member of society now. Just like gay people, like anything. So it's like you can't get away from it, and it is part of the society now, and it's a new talk to have with your children. I don't think it happened to be fair.
Oh, yeah.
But that's just the way it is, and I agree with you, King. You respect someone for who they are, and you may not agree with their choices, but no hate.
Yep.
You can respect it. But I'm just against.
I'm going to be honest.
And
I don't even want to cut you off, but I want to say this, and then you can add on to it. I will say this, though. I do agree that a lot of babies who are born, I agree that a lot of them, you know, they could be born a boy, but they can have a lot of female tendencies.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I agree with that. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of them will grow up to really end up being a female. You know what I'm saying?
So then
they become a transgender. You know what I mean? I agree that stuff can happen, but somebody who is actually full boy when they grow up being a boy, but then they wake up one morning and be like, ooh, I want to be a girl. You know what I mean? Like, I don't agree with that. You know? But, like I say, we live in it's a crazy world we live in, but I respect everybody's opinion, but that's just not something I would do. I mean, that's, you know, it's just sad. You know what I mean? Everybody go through stuff, and that's the reason why it's important to it's just important to really study life and to just study, period. You know what I mean? So you can understand what's going on, because living in this world we live in, it can have you really going off the deep end if you let it happen.
If you let it, you're 100% right. And by the way, I have a cousin who is a hermaphrodite. He is born with both private areas, vagina and a penis. But, you know, it's all about what Brother Ja did and what you said. The world is changing.
Exactly.
We are evolving.
Yes.
You know, it's not like our parents will say shit against us, saying, well, when I was my day, you know, we blah, blah, blah. Now we're doing it. We became our parents. In my day, you know, we just have to evolve with the world. Peace, love, and even if you don't agree on a person's decision or religion or whatever, I have transgenders. I had them on my show, and I like them. They're people. And whatever choices, I just don't believe that the physical part about competing in a certain athletic level is hard enough for a girl to get a scholarship. It's hard enough. They fought so hard to have their own leagues, and they fought so hard to go to college and off scholarships and to bring in something that is stronger than them, and they could get seriously hurt competing against them. That's where I draw the line, and I'm with you. You can have your own league, have your own league. Go have fun. Don't put a law that some boy can go against my little girl just because he feels he's different and could cause her harm. I'm thinking we might want to rethink this. That's all I'm saying. Brother, you know, thank you, Mr. King of Kings, Your Royal Highness. Thank you for coming in. Again, Mr. King Webb, everybody. And Brother Ja Did, if he's still here, he can take us out on a 10-second goodbye note and a positive spin so we can have a better day. And it's all yours, Mr. Brother Jawdid. Take us out on a high note and a positive thing so we can have a good day.
Yes, sir.
You know, one thing I could think about is the prayer that I usually say. I usually say prayer. And I just go out with that, man. I say it in Arabic, and then I say it in English. Well, I say
sure.
my own English. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. إياكَ نعبد وإياكَ نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. The creator of the universe, the creator of all, protect us, protect this line, protect this universe, protect this planet, protect us from ourselves, protect us from our own way of thinking if we are thinking wrongly. Protect me if I'm thinking wrong. Guide us on the right path. You know, guide us back to love. Guide Donald Trump back to love. Guide his followers back to love. You know, guide us all back to love. And, you know, let's come together and, you know, let's fight for love. Let's die for love. Let's live for love. You know, let's come back to love and let's heal our households, heal our hearts. Heal the women that's being abused by the men. Heal the men that's being abused by the women. Let's just come back together in love, unity, and really treat people how we want to be treated, man. You know, and just come back to let's doing what's just simply right.
Amen.
God is the greatest. Thank you, family.
Amen. Amen. It's that simple. You know, we just forget that simple. Like Brother King said, love, man, brother. And Brother Jawdid reemphasize that. We forgot love and respect. Maybe when we get that back, we can become a better place and stop criminalizing people because they think differently. We need that love to come back. The heal arc. We need to be healed. And that's what's going on right now. We got too many scabs that are just people are picking at it and we start bleeding again. We just need to be healed with that love. Thank you, Mr. King. Web, and thank you, Brother Jawdid. We'll see you guys tomorrow on one of the best shows on Blog Talk, everybody. And you disagreed, I'm going to kick your ass. I'll see you guys tomorrow on Brian the Hammer Jackson Show. Thank you, guys. Have a great, safe day.
Yeah. You too. Thank you, too, sir.
You too. Everybody have a good day.
Let it go. My name, Bishop Web. I got the first church, nothing but the truth. What you say? Deacon Kyle, Deacon George, Deacon Clay. Open up the door and turn them loose. Come on! First, I want to thank God for the blood running warm in my veins. Yeah! I thank God for my life, health, and strength. I got a sound mind, I'm not insane. Come on! I ain't gonna preach too long. I ain't gonna take the service too far. My sermon this morning tells us a long, long. Everybody get a seat. Come on, y'all. Sister Lily may go back in the kitchen, cause the winter gets through and need to eat. I must it. Fix me collard greens and cornbread and rice. Chicken breast, oxtails on the side. That's what I'm talking about. Deacon Underwood, get my busy ready, cause winter gets through and need a ride. Come on! Dr. West, count the money, come back and tell us what you raised.
We ain't gonna find another deacon.
I got some people there looking for some blessings. First, God got to get the praise.
Come on, y'all.
See, there's an old saying. When the praises go up, you get the blessing coming down. I got some people in the church. God Almighty, look at them. They mess around. Come on, come on.
Woo.
Hell no. Till the no, no, no. Hell to the no. Hell to the no. To the no, no, no. Listen. I
got people in the church smoking weed, drinking whiskey, they drinking a lot of gin. What you say? I got the preacher with the night prayer meetings, all about can I get an amen? Come on! Early Sunday morning, about a quarter and a half past ten. Yeah! I got some people, they coming off the street, God Almighty, look at them, they're strolling in. They need help! They land at the altar, they confess the sin, their sin. Come on, wait! Time is here Monday morning, they doing the same thing again. Hypocrite, hypocrite! Hell no! Come on! Tell them no, no, no. Tell them no, tell them no. Tell them no, 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 no. Listen, talk, talk! Got kids dropping out of school, talking about they don't want to learn. Yet they're standing on the corner rolling blunts, talking about come on, let's turn. Y'all better get back to school. I got kids walking up and down the street, pants hanging down around their knees. Pull them pants off. Talk about that they're looking for a job. When I see them get a book, I say please. Talk to them, but see all they ever talk about, brag about who got the biggest and the baddest gun. Trying to see the copper with the rubber top. They drop the gun, they wanna run. Put your gun down. Now the sheriff got them locked up. They're sitting in the county jail. It's a shame. I heard the mama, she was crying all night. She can't get no money for the bill. Come on. Now the man was the homeboy, cause they didn't put the money in the commissary. Your friend's gone now. They had you in the jail, brother man. You were sure headed for the cemetery. Come on, wait. See, there's an old saying that a hard head makes a soft behind. Yeah. Well, this is in your crime. Don't do the time. Stop the baby crying. Come on. About you. All you gotta do is let them talk much as they please. That's what they gonna do, y'all. Cause all you gotta do is get down on your knees. Tell the Lord about it. You tell God about it, and I guarantee you he will never leave you alone. Yeah. All you gotta do is tell the devil, hell no, won't you leave?